A little pitch to Zion Gibson. Room to run past the second line of defense up to the 35, 36-yard line.
Tradition.
Throws on the run. This pass is caught by James Bowman at the 10, 5, into the end zone. Touchdown, Emery.
Determination.
The handoff out of the shotgun set. Gobbled up in the backfield. Tegan Chrisman brings him down to the ground.
Emery Spartan football.
Tegan Chrisman, number 4. Aiden Mortensen, number 59.
James Bowman, number 5.
Jeremy Brannon, number 18.
Riker Jensen, number 11.
Tristan Leroy, number 1.
Seth Justice, number 7.
Riggs Griffin, number 8.
The journey continues here on KOAL AM 750.
Welcome to the Emery Spartan pregame show on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Brought to you by Landon's Diesel Service. Leave your truck in the hands of those who know diesel engines. Landon's Diesel Service at 540 South 300 West in Price. And now for tonight's play-by-play, let's join Jordan Buscarini and Travis Anderson.
Welcome back to Emory High School football. Here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, I'm Jordan Buscarini. I'll be joined momentarily by Travis Anderson. We are on the road as the Spartans travel to Mount Pleasant to take on the North San Pete Hawks, the number one team in 3A. North San Pete, of course, last year the runners-up at the 3A state championship game, and they have been outstanding so far this season. They finished the regular season with a 9-1 record. Emory, on the flip side, just 1-9. Wouldn't quite call it a David versus Goliath matchup. It'll be the second time these two teams have gone toe-to-toe this year. North San Pete picked up a win the first time in Emory County. The final score in that game was 43-6. It was 2-0 at the end of the opening quarter, and then 16-0 at the midway point. Then North San Pete pulled away in the final two quarters of that contest. And we'll bring in Travis Anderson now here on the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show. Travis, it's the third season. That's what coaches like to refer to it as. You have the non-region, the region, and then the postseason, and Emory is still playing as we get here to the third season.
Yeah, third season. So now you're 0-0. Now you're on the road, a team that you've already played in week two. I think for the Emory Spartans, offensively, to get going, you got to establish the run. And that's important for them. If they get where they cannot run the football, and then it kind of gets them out of their game plan a little bit, where they're going to have to try to throw the ball down the field. It's really not Emory's game plan, so got to run the ball, set it up nicely, use some clock, eat some, you know, chunk yards up, and try to play the field position game as well.
Yeah, we've talked to Coach Famalo about that all season long, and it is apparent that Emory is most effective offensively when the run game is successful. Now, the last time Emory played North San Pete, Zion Gibson did not play in that game. I threw out an interesting stat to you. As we got to the second half of the season, when Zion and James was on the field, this team had scored about 10 times as many points as when only one was on the field together. We've seen James Bowman used in a variety of ways, Travis. We've seen him line up in the Wildcat. We've seen him line up on the outside. Emory will do whatever they can to get man-to-man coverage on James Bowman. But nonetheless, Coach Famalo and Coach Justice, who calls the offense, I expect them to get very creative with senior James Bowman tonight. What could be his final game in an Emory uniform if the Spartans are not victorious?
I think for Bowman, if you can do some quick outs, you know, two-step drops, quick out to the outside, let Bowman use his strength, his speed to get the outside edge. That's going to work. One-on-one to the outside, Bowman's going to have the advantage on the corners of North San Pete. So, again, use that, like you said, with the Wildcat formation, some, you know, snaps to Bowman, let him run up the gut. But I think Zion Gibson's the key for the offense tonight. If Zion gets going early, we already seen, you know, how electric he really is. So I think Zion Gibson's my key for tonight's game.
Yeah, you tag him with Jace Curtis out of the backfield, and it is a very formidable duo for the Spartan rushing attack. On the flip side, let's take a look at the North San Pete Hawks. Again, they only lost one game in the regular season. Because of that one loss, they did not win their region yet. In the RPI, they remain the number one team in the state, and for good reason. It's a very talented team, but they are led by a sophomore quarterback in Landon Bowles. Now, it doesn't matter what sport you're talking about, basketball, football, baseball, any coach will tell you when you have a freshman or a sophomore, the idea is by the midway point, they are no longer freshmen or sophomores. Landon Bowles, you can get to him with some pressure. Maybe you can rattle him up a bit, but this is a kid that has thrown for 1,600 yards this season for a reason. He's a stud, only a sophomore, but again, if Emory can get to him early, bring pressure, play aggressive on the defensive end of the ball, maybe things could happen.
Yeah, you got to give him different looks. You can't just, you know, send two to the outside edge and hope to flush him out of the pocket that way. Defensively, you're going to have to confuse him. You're going to have to bring the safety up, drop back into coverage. Give him different looks that he hasn't seen. But you said it, Landon Bowles is a stud. Over 1,600 passing yards, you know, on the season. Very good, very poised in the pocket when he has time to pick apart the defense. So, Emory, aggressively, like you said, you can't hold anything back. It's a playoff game. Defensively, come after it.
You take a look at some of the skill position players for this North Sanpete team, and you're going to be hearing a lot of these names. Connor Jorgensen, for one, leading running back out of the backfield for this Hawks squad. And then you can go even deeper. Jackson Langschwager, who we got a good look at when he was in Emory County. This kid will line up in the slot. He can beat you on the ground. He can beat you through the air. There's a lot of weapons on Coach Rhett Bird's North Sanpete offensive unit, and I think we're going to see a lot of those tonight. Now, again, we talked to Coach John Famalo earlier this week on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, and we'll get to that interview in just a moment. He said, got to be aggressive defensively. I think you're echoing what he said in that pregame show. Get aggressive, take some chances early on, and try to run this clock. Make this game as short as possible.
Now I'm going to send three or four if I can. I'm rushing. I'm bringing the pressure on the outside, up the middle as well. Bring your safety once in a while, too, on maybe a little bit of a blitz. But you have to come aggressively after him. And it's very important that you tackle and you don't let them, you know, out of those tackles. I mean, we've seen time and time again this season by Emory, they've gotten the backfield and they just haven't made the tackle, and then it's, you know, 10 yards down the field the other way.
Again, it's the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We are also streaming live at CastleCountryRadio.com, courtesy of Bill's Home Furnishings, one of my favorite places to come for a football game. North Sanpete High School, the hospitality is always top-notch, and we always get to see a very talented team, be it basketball, football, or baseball. It's number one North Sanpete against number 16 Emory. We'll send it back to the studio for just a moment. When we return, you're going to hear from head coach John Famalo as we get set for the second meeting of the season between Emory and North Sanpete. This time, we're in Mount Pleasant. We're back in just a moment.
Whether it's for work or play, your diesel truck needs to perform. Landon's Diesel is the number one place to go if your diesel truck is in need of repair. Landon's technicians are certified and have years of experience working on diesel engines. Don't take a chance on a repair shop that doesn't have the know-how. Choosing the wrong place to get your truck repaired can lead to costly fixes down the road. At Landon's Diesel, you know you're leaving your truck in the hands of those who know diesel engines. Landon's Diesel, 540 South 300 West in Price, or call for an appointment, 613-1221.
His wife's words echoed in his mind.
You never fix anything around here.
Well, today that would change. He would fix the water heater. He'd show her that he was the handyman of this house. He was more than capable. Oh, no. Covered it. August 14th, 2008. Talk to farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
You're right, my farmer's truck fire insurance exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Call me, Billy Vigor, at 637-3077 or visit me online, billyvigorinsurance.com.
It's hunting season, and you have two choices. Park your old vehicle at the bottom of the hill, hike to the perfect hunting spot, and drag your trophy back down the hill. Or you can come see us at Auto Farm Price Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram and get a new hunting truck that can get you to the top. Hi, this is Hunter Staniforth with Auto Farm Price Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, and we have got your new hunting truck waiting for you. We carry a large selection of new and pre-owned trucks, so we are sure to have something to fit your budget. We search the internet daily to make sure you are getting the very best price. Come down and see us today for the best price and best financing anywhere.
Emory High School football on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM is brought to you in part by The Auto Farm, Price Theaters, Farmers Insurance Agent Billy Vigor, Castleview Hospital, Swift Stop and Shop, AJ's Paint and Body, Spectrum Paint, Desert View Federal Credit Union, and Bill's Home Furnishings.
Science indicates access to high-speed internet during the school years can lead to, but is not limited to, streamlined acquisition of data, academic achievement, career advancement, satisfying relationships, cuter children, and joy. Our conclusion? Procure e-fiber or Xstream Internet from Emory Telecom today. Contact Emory Telecom for a special back-to-school offer at 613-9605.
With all the talk of sports-related injuries, isn't it great to know you have professionals on your side that can help you answer the questions you have about your child? At Castleview Physical Therapy, they have a team of professionals from physical therapists, occupational therapists, athletic trainers, and even massage therapists who work together to make sure your child is performing at their best and safe as potential. They will help guide you through the recovery of sports injuries and make sure you know when it's safe to get back in the game. Ask your doctor for a referral to Castleview Physical Therapy.
Finding a job on your own can be hard. If you're looking for a temporary job or a permanent career, Labor Finders and Price can help you get your next paycheck in four easy steps. Contact Labor Finders and Price, 637-1782. Take your personal identification to Labor Finders and apply. Get matched with a great local job. Get paid. It's that simple. From construction work to manufacturing, hospitality, or even retail, Labor Finders and Price can help you. Call 637-1782 today. Labor Finders is a sponsor of Castle Country Local Sports.
You're listening to the Emory Spartan Pregame Show on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Brought to you by Landon's Diesel Service. Leave your truck in the hands of those who know diesel engines. Landon's Diesel Service at 540 South 300 West in Price.
Welcome back to the Landon's Diesel Service Pregame Show. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Counting down the minutes to kickoff tonight, we have state championship tournament action. The Emory Spartans on the road taking on the North St. Pete Hawks. It's a number 1 versus a number 16 matchup in the first year of the RPI rankings. Emory gets in despite a 1-9 record. That one win coming against the Carbon Dinos at home just a couple of weeks back. Emory did get some help this past Friday as South Sevier defeated Carbon, seemingly opening the door for Emory to get into the state championship tournament. Now, earlier this week on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, I was joined by head coach John Famalo. We talked about last week's loss to San Juan, which came in blowout fashion, 49-0. And we also talked about tonight's playoff contest against North St. Pete, which marks the second meeting of the season between the two teams. Here's our interview with Coach John Famalo. Coach, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on, Jordan.
Always, always, Coach. Let's start by talking about Friday's contest, then we'll dive into the upcoming playoff game this Friday. But this past Friday, very tough task for this team. Had to travel on the road and play a very good San Juan team. Coach, final score is 49-0. Is there a particular instance in this game that you look for some silver lining, or you just throw it out the window saying, look, it's over, regular season doesn't matter? How do you approach that as a coach?
You got to try to take some positives. I don't know if there was a ton, but at the same time, it's one of those. It's season's over. Again, we got a playoff game, and so that's kind of what we're steering towards. But, you know, San Juan's a good team, and there's we play another good team. And so hopefully we can pick out some of those things that, you know, the kids did well to help them, you know, in that next game.
As far as positives go, Coach, 21-0, end of the first half. Team gets the ball all the way down inside the 5-yard line. Here's an opportunity to put some points up on the board before we go into the break. And we get the ball to start the second half. Now, unfortunately, there was an officiating flub. They kind of ran the clock out. That made no points for Emory going into the end of the first half. But nonetheless, I guess that would have been one positive. I mean, down two scores to get the ball to start the second half. Maybe it's a different game.
Yeah, you never know. And so, I mean, it was unfortunate. We get down there. We were ready to snap the ball. They called us off and then went on the clock when, we, you know, there was no explanation to us why we, you know, even stopped. And so, again, 3 seconds ran off, didn't score. And so that made it tough for us to, you know, been a little bit different, I think, mindset for 21-7. We get the ball and, you know, that's what you hope, but that's not what happened. And at the end of the day, you know, we need to respond some way that second half. And, you know, they're a good team, and we struggled defensively and offensively. I mean, lost Seth there in the second quarter, so that hurt a little bit, but I thought, for the most part, Ty came in and, you know, tough circumstances and a whole lot of reps this week, last few weeks, and so did a, you know, admirable job with what he could, but just too many turnovers.
Coach, you talked about defensively struggling in this game, but if we go back to the second quarter, that might have been as solid as this team has been all year long. I mean, defensively, San Juan really didn't have a lot of chances for quick, efficient drives in that game. That's what they want to do, obviously. It's a fast-moving team. You guys only give up 7 points in the second quarter. I mean, just going back off the top of my mind without really looking at video, it seems like that was a very solid quarter from what I remember.
Yeah, no, we kind of got settled in. You know, they were... Again, they just kind of take what you're giving them, and, you know, they were throwing there a little bit on the outside earlier, and, you know, we dropped back a little bit in zone covers, kind of stopped that, and, you know, made them run the ball a little bit, and, you know, I thought we were, you know, doing a fair job, and then kind of wheels fell off a little bit in that third, and so, you know, that's kind of how we've been all year. We, you know, we've been good at times defensively, but, you know, overall for 4 quarters, we've, you know, we've always had that quarter that we've kind of giving up a few more than we should.
You did mention losing Seth in this contest, Coach. He leaves the game after taking a shot to the head. I know that's a scary moment, especially after what happened earlier this season against ALA. Tyler Stilson steps in. And before we talk about Tyler's performance in this game, any update on Seth and what his availability will be moving forward?
I'm not sure. I think he's doing good. But like you said, I think it's he might be in concussion protocol right now, and so you know chances are we may be without him. So you know that's kind of how I'm leaning towards right now, especially with the second one. I think it's just one of those just for safety precautions, probably best to let him sit this last one out or this next one out.
Coach, this has definitely been a tough season for someone like Tyler. Here's a kid that enters the season as a third-string quarterback, and I know that speaks volumes to the amount of injuries that this team has suffered with not a lot of depth to begin with. I thought Tyler stepped in this game and in the second quarter really showed some flashes of being a really good quarterback, even his interception to start that second half. I mean, the read was right, just overshot his intended receiver a tad bit. I didn't think Tyler played a bad game.
No, overall, like you say, he came in that second quarter and kind of made that little bit of a drive right before that we could have scored. And then, like I say, getting in the second quarter or third quarters, we're making a drive again, a little bit of RPO, made the right read, just overthrew it a little bit. But overall, I thought, you know, under the circumstances, he did a really good job.
Is this something, Coach, that throughout practice, I mean, was he taking first-team reps? And how ready was he to go into the game at that point?
No, honestly, like I say, it's probably been a couple weeks since he's taken first-team reps. And so, you know, there were some plays we had in the playbook that he didn't even know we had yet. so that was a little bit tough that, you know, we had to mark those off. And so, you know, that's a tough situation to be in. But he's always been one of those kids that just says, hey, well, here we go. And, you know, I admire him for that and his teammates admire him for that because that's not an easy situation to be in.
Again, our guest right now is Coach John Famala with the Emory Spartan football team. Coach, let's fast forward past Friday. Over the weekend, Saturday, the final RPI rankings come out, and Emory is 16. I thought following Friday's game, okay, if Carbon gets a win, things may get a little dicey here because then you would have Carbon with two wins, Emory with one, even though you beat Carbon. South Sevier plays a big, you know, role in this whole equation. When Carbon lost to South Sevier, I felt pretty comfortable about Emory getting in.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at. And so, I mean, our intent was to go down to San Juan and, you know, kind of just control our own destiny. But at the end of the day, that was the key game for us is, you know, how the Carbon South Sevier game went. And, you know, fortunate for us, you know, South Sevier wins and, you know, they jump us in the standings. But at the end of the day, we're in the playoffs. And so we're happy about that to play another game. And who knows it's from here when it comes to playoff season.
We get Nord San Pete, Coach. It's definitely not an easy task, but you and I had a conversation following the game against San Juan, and I think we both agreed that this was a little bit better matchup for what it's worth. I mean, Juab did beat Nord San Pete 28-5, yet it is Nord San Pete that's going to be the number one team of the RPI, a team that we saw in week two. We'd have to go back a little ways to really remember what Nord San Pete is made of, but nonetheless, you feel this is a better matchup considering what it could have been, some of the top three or four teams here in this classification?
I mean, it's a tough draw no matter what with those two, you know, top teams, whether it be, you know, Juab, Morgan, or Grantsville, one of those four teams you ended up with, you got your work cut out for you. And so, North San Pete, you know, they're aggressive defensively, you know, they give us fits because they're really aggressive, they're quick to the ball, and, you know, that's one worry this week is offensively we got to make sure our ducks are in a row that way. Defensively, I thought, you know, when we played them week two, we played them pretty good. Had moments, and again, I think we had a third quarter that kind of blew things open, and so I think defensively we can get settled in early and try to do some things to take away what they're trying to do, and then, you know, offensively, if we can be efficient, try to make some drives and take some time and hopefully get some points on the board, just give yourself a chance to win at the end of the game. That's kind of what our game plan is right now.
Rematches in high school or college football are very out of the norm, Coach, but I have always felt that second go-around, I mean, it favors the underdog. That's always kind of been my thought process here because you've seen this team once. You can kind of go back and recollect and kind of break things down the first time you saw them. To me, it does benefit the underdog. That's the way I've always viewed it.
Yeah, no, it helps to know what they do. And like I say, it's it's one of those you look back at film and think, okay, yeah, we could change this, change that. And so now we get that opportunity to do so this week. And so hopefully we can make the necessary changes to be able to, you know, be successful. And so, you know, hopefully it plays in our favor. Like I said, it's just nice to be familiar with somebody and have tape and how they played you the first time, you know, and how they're going to play you this time may change a little bit. But, you know, they're having success, and so to change things on their end doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So, again, we're probably going to see a lot of the same things. So hopefully for us we can take what they do and find some of those weaknesses that we can take advantage of.
I'm sure, Coach, if you go back, I'm sure you've gotten back and already kind of watched the way things went the first time upon knowing that you would play North Stampede, I would assume.
Yeah, no, I've watched that film too many times right now.
You go back to the first half, it's 16-0 going into the break. Only a safety, I believe, was the only score in the first quarter, if memory serves me right, Coach. What did you guys do defensively that worked against that potent North Stampede offense in that game?
Like you say, we went into the game plan expecting them to run. That's how we saw them against Grantsville, but they came out throwing early, and you know, our kids played pretty sound defense, zone defense on the back end, and I think Jace had a couple picks, and so, you know, they have a sophomore quarterback, but now he's got, you know, 9 games, 10 games underneath his belt. He's going to be that much better, and so, you know, if they throw the ball, we just got to make sure we're prepared for that, and because they're a really physical team up front, and you know, they're going to run the ball when they need to, and then, you know, try to stretch the field when they can, and so, you know, I thought defensively, you know, we did a good job, at least that first half, of staying on top of things and making sure, you know, we didn't give up some big plays.
Coach, over the weekend, not knowing that you would have a playoff game, was it nerve-wracking at all, or did you feel pretty comfortable about getting a playoff spot? I'm just curious as to you as a head coach, you know, what's kind of the mindset with this new RPI and really just relying on a computer to figure out if we get another game or not?
No, I felt we were pretty good. You know, it was between us and Judge where in my mind is where it was at. And so it was like, okay, hey, you know, at the end of the day, I'm hoping we'll be there at 16. And so my mind, I was planning for JUAB just based off of standings and how things fell out. So, you know, even probably Friday, you know, after their Thursday game happened, you know, that JUAB ended up winning the region. You know, I'm looking at it thinking, okay, starting to prep already for JUAB, probably mostly Friday, and then we get the word Saturday and it changes. And so, you know, but I'm happy to have another game, another week with the kids, especially for our seniors, you know, give them another opportunity to show what they got, especially James and some of these kids that you know, have had a phenomenal year, and just hopefully we can end on a good note there.
Yeah, the senior group, it's definitely been a lot of fun to watch these kids. Hopefully we're not talking about the last game this Friday, but it will be an afternoon kickoff, 4 p.m., right?
I honestly haven't seen the schedule on that. I haven't confirmed that with North Stampede, nor I don't know if it's listed in the paper as 4 p.m. So that's news to me. So if it is 4 p.m., we'll be ready. If it's 7 p.m., we'll be ready. And so it's just nice to have a full week to be able to prep versus, like I say, 2 days last week made it a little bit tough to get things ready.
Yeah, there's no question. Last question, Coach, before I let you go. As far as preparation this week, knowing that it is a win-or-go-home situation, do you change things up in practice at all, maybe scale back the physicality, or do you up it? I mean, how do you prepare this week?
With the situation we are, I don't know. You know, it'd be nice to be able to rep the type of physicality you see on Friday. I don't know if we can afford any more injuries. And so for us, it's, you know, game plan as usual. It's just a matter of, okay, hey, scheme-wise, what are we doing? And, you know, how do we want to handle what they're trying to do to us? So, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily just ramping it up, because I don't know at this point in the season. I don't know if that helps you at this point. And so just trying to get scheme and things that ready and get the kids mentally prepared to be able to handle a really good North Stampede team.
Coach, it's always a pleasure to get you on. I appreciate the time. Best of luck this Friday, and we'll see you at the game.
Hey, thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Again, that's Emory High School football coach John Famalo talking about tonight's matchup. Emory on the road battling the North Stampede Hawks. It's the opening round of the 3A state championship tournament, and we have an early kickoff set for 4 o'clock. We're going to continue on with the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show here in just a moment. We'll take a look at the tournament bracket in general and get you some insight from North Stampede's sidelines. That's all coming up right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. It's where the Spartans play.
Whether it's for work or play, your diesel truck needs to perform. Landon's Diesel is the number one place to go if your diesel truck is in need of repair. Landon's technicians are certified and have years of experience working on diesel engines. Don't take a chance on a repair shop that doesn't have the know-how. Choosing the wrong place to get your truck repaired can lead to costly fixes down the road. At Landon's Diesel, you know you're leaving your truck in the hands of those who know diesel engines. Landon's Diesel, 540 South 300 West in Price, or call for an appointment, 613-1221.
You know, I've driven the canyon for years now and never hit a deer. But a few weeks ago, a semi-truck veered into my lane, causing me to go off the road and hit a dead deer on the side of the road. Believe me when I say a dead deer can do just as much damage as hitting a live one. My car was a wreck. Luckily, I had programmed AJ's number into my phone. They picked me up and towed my car. While hitting a deer isn't funny, you know what else isn't funny? Calling someone besides AJ's Body and Paint to fix your car. Program 637-2060 into your phone right now. AJ's Body and Paint. They won't leave you stranded.
If you're looking for a paint with the highest corrosion resistance in the industry, higher heat resistance, and a coating that won't run or sag and will stand up to weather, oil, gasoline, and corrosive chemicals, reach for nothing less than MRO spray paint from Seymour. Available now at Spectrum Paint. One 20-ounce can will cover what four 14-ounce cans of general-purpose spray paint will cover, resulting in the lowest cost per square foot. No one was ever sorry they bought the best. MRO spray paint from Seymour. Simply the best paint, period. Sold only at Spectrum Paint.
I was tired of seeing the same colors on every new car I passed. So when I special ordered my new car, I selected a custom paint job. 2 months later, I wrecked it. Thankfully, I took my car to C&T Auto Body. Not only did they file all the paperwork with the insurance company, C&T Auto Body was able to match my paint color exactly with their updated color tools. C&T Auto Body uses water-based paint, just like the vehicle manufacturers, so you get a perfect match. Find C&T Auto Body 3 doors down from Sutherland's.
It's now time to see what's playing on the big screens here in Price. Continuing at the Price Theater is Joker. A failed stand-up comedian, Arthur Fleck, encounters a group of criminals dressed up as clowns wandering on the streets of Gotham City. He slowly descends into madness and transforms into the criminal mastermind known as the Joker. Joker is rated R. New to the King Cole Theater is Rambo, Last Blood. Rambo must confront his past and unearth his ruthless combat skills to exact revenge in a final mission. Rambo, Last Blood is rated R. Continuing at the King Cole Theater is Abominable. Three teenagers must help a Yeti return to his family while avoiding a wealthy man and a zoologist. Abominable is rated PG. And continuing at the King Cole Theater is the Addams Family. They're creepy and they're kooky, and they've been entertaining us since 1938. Now an animated version about this peculiar and ghoulish family hits the big screens. The Addams Family is rated R. For showtimes, call the movie hotline at 650-0500.
The muzzleloader and rifle hunts are fast approaching. Don't be caught off guard going to retailers that are restricting ammunition to customers. Sportsman's Corner, located inside Bill's Home Furnishings, has ammunition in stock and won't leave hunters empty-handed. No responsible gun owner should have to worry if they'll have ammunition this hunting season. Stop into Sportsman's Corner and put your mind at ease. 45 South 300 Street in Price. Sportsman's Corner wants you to be prepared.
The Spartans play here.
James Bowman, number 5.
Jeremy Brennan, number 18.
Tristan Leroy, number 1.
On 107.3 FM and 750 AM KOAL.
Touchdown, Raiders!
The Raiders play on News Talk 107.3 FM and 750 AM KOAL. Hear every snap, every tackle, every play. The Raiders take on the Houston Texans Sunday at 10:30.
The Raiders win it! The Raiders win it!
Raiders football is powered by Castle Country Radio. The Raiders on News Talk 107.3 FM and 750 AM KOAL.
As a mom, I felt like my kids were slipping away. I just wanted to spend time with them. But with our fast-paced life, it just wasn't possible. Besides, what kid wants to hang out with their mom? That was until I found the Price Theaters. So now I take time with each of my kids and take them to a movie. No, we can't talk during the movie, but we're together, and the conversation afterwards is the best. So as one busy mom to another, take your kid to the movies tonight. It'll give you things to talk about for a lifetime.
This is Eastern Utah's news and weather station, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, KOAL, Price.
The Spartans play here.
James Ballmer, number 5.
Jeremy Brennan, number 18.
Tristan Leroy, number 1.
On 107.3 FM and 750 AM KOAL.
We are just about set for kickoff here in Mount Pleasant. Again, it's the opening round of the 3A State Championship Tournament. Number 1, North St. Pete, playing host to number 16, Emory. Jordan Buscarini alongside Travis Anderson as we get set for kickoff. The coin toss has already taken place at midfield. North St. Pete won the toss. They elected to defer. So, Travis, right off the bat, the Emory offense will have the opportunity to maybe eat up some clock, slow this game down a little bit, and look for the ultimate payoff, some points on the opening drive.
So what they're going to have to do, slow down things, establish the run early on, can't get behind the six. We've seen time after again, you know, going through the season where Emory's put themselves in first and, you know, 15 second and long. They can't do that today.
Take a look at the officials in tonight's game. The referee will be George Stewart. The umpire, Jared Miller. The head linesman is Robert Dowell. The line judge is Greg Parsons. And the back judge will be Kason Anderson. Emory comes out wearing their road uniforms, white jerseys with black tops and black bottoms. North St. Pete, the home squad, wearing black helmets with red jerseys and red pants. North St. Pete is kicking off right to left on the radio dial. Jace Curtis and Zion Gibson back to return. And we are underway, end over end kick. And this one is actually returned short side by the Spartans out to the 26-yard line. And that's where this first possession will begin. Not terrible field position, Travis, but as we have learned over the last couple of weeks, teams are doing a terrific job of kicking the football away from Gibson and Curtis.
Yeah, Gibson and Curtis, both electric, both have the ability to take it back at any time. So they short kick it to the right side of that field. Just a short little return, so Emory takes over. First and 10 now, just, you know, short of the 30-yard line.
Yeah, Emory, one of the rare teams in 3A that have had kickoff returns for touchdowns from two different players. Out of the Wildcat formation, James Bowman. We've seen him play a variety of spots. He takes the snap. He wants to move to the right side. Does for a gain of 3, just shy of the 30-yard line of the 29. Set up second down and 7. You like Bowman at the Wildcat, don't you?
I do. I think Bowman has the ability to change direction. He can get to the outside edge. Throws North St. Pete's defense into a wrinkle where they have to, you know, play Bowman, who's more of a wideout, not much of a running back.
And we have seen back and forth quarterback action this year, be it Tyler Stilson, Riker Jensen, Seth Justice, and now even James Bowman. Four different players have lined up. Varsity for Emory, a lot of that due to injury. And Bowman comes back out of the shotgun set, lining up to the left side. He has Jace Curtis. Pistol formation, four-man front, hard snap count. Emory will draw North St. Pete off sides for a gain of 5 without even snapping the football. And now you're on schedule here, Travis. It's second down and 1.
Yeah, Sheldon Christiansen, number 75, doesn't want to jump. So that hard count at Emory works to perfection. They get a team, you know, a game. So early on here, they finally, you know, get North St. Pete early on.
It's actually going to be second and a 2 yards. So a long 1, 2 yards here for Emory. That ball is placed just at the 35-yard line. You've talked about the hard snap count, something we've seen since the Coach Jim Jones era. Emory's going to stack the right side. Bowman back in the shotgun, back at his own 30. Takes the snap, hand off to Zion Gibson. Zion wants to go to the left side, and there is nowhere for him to go. Jackson Langschwanger comes into the backfield and brings him down for a loss on the play. So now it's third down and about 5 yards for Emory on a loss of 3. Not the ideal situation, but I'll tell you, you're going to have a very difficult time running the ball around the outside on this North St. Pete squad. Very talented, very athletic. That time, there was nothing in between the center and the guard. Gibson tried to take it to the left side, and North St. Pete was having nothing of it. Now it's third down and 5.
Now just too much speed on the outside edge to get to that corner, and you've seen it right there. North St. Pete comes up, makes the tackle, puts Emory in a 3rd and 3, a 3rd and short situation.
Bowman's going to remain the quarterback in the shotgun set. Stacks the left side. 2 wideouts in the slot. Jax Madsen. Hard snap count. Nothing there for Emory. Bowman takes the slap snap. Fakes the handoff. Read option. Wants to go around the outside, and he goes nowhere. This one was blown up in the backfield almost immediately by the North St. Pete defense, and that'll be a quick 3 and out for Emory on the takedown that time. Cole Mickle, the junior for the Hawks, and now it's 4th and 10. So Emory had 2nd and 2. They lose 8 yards on the next play, or the next 2 plays, I should say, and now they'll punt the ball away to the dangerous McKinley Robinson, who stands back at his own 40-yard line. Tegan Chrisman, the senior, will handle the punt duties here for the Spartans. Teagan, a do-it-all-type senior. This punt is blocked. It's blocked at the 30, and it's picked up by the Hawks, and they'll have an extremely short field. So Nord Sam Pete comes out firing on all cylinders. Brady Jacobson comes up with a loose ball on the field, and now the Hawks will set up just shy of the red zone for their first possession.
Good special teams play by North Sam Pete, getting there, getting the block, and starting this drive in Emory territory just inside the 30.
First down and 10 for North Sam Pete. 9:36 to play in the opening quarter. Hawks moving right to left. And now quarterback Landon Bowles will go to work. Again, he is just a sophomore. He lines up under center, wishbone-type set offense as Emory stacks the box. Little play action. Rolling to the right side. Bowles is under some pressure. Throws the ball away. Got outside the pocket, but Emory definitely brought the pressure, and Coach Famalo talked about that. Junior Luke Stilson getting around the end, flushing Bowles outside the pocket on the right sideline. Sets up second and 10. You got to take chances.
We got a flag down, but yeah. Emory did a good job. They got the pressure on the outside. That's Stilton coming around that edge, flushing him out of the pocket, making a tough throw on the run out of bounds.
Yeah, there was a flag on the play. It was an illegal man downfield against North Sam Pete. So back him up 5 yards. Emory still managed to get to Bulls that time off of the play action. I don't necessarily worry about the pass game. I worry about North Sam Pete being able to carve out chunks of yardage on the ground, which Emory has given up some big plays in that area. Emory with a four-man front.
Now those gaps, Emory's got to close those gaps because they will gash you through the A and the B gap right there to the outside.
A pitch to the outside, and the Spartans well-equipped for it. Gain of about 3, but that brings the Hawks to the 30. Remember, this drive started at the 28-yard line, so now the Hawks remain behind the sticks on a pitch rolling to the left side. It was Lane Eliason, the senior, who took it to the left side. And now we're looking at second down. Second down at about 13. Emory's going to continue out with a four-man front. Again, the idea to bring pressure around the outside. Keep an eye on Big Cove Johansson. The junior has definitely done wonders for Emory on the pass rush so far this season. He's standing up at defensive end. The snap, Bulls back to pass, has man-to-man coverage, wants to go deep, caught, then dropped. Jax Madsen was in man-to-man coverage with Eliason down the left sideline. And now
yeah,
it's Madsen, third down and 12.
Sorry, Madsen just outran the coverage, and as he came back, luckily they dropped the football because if he catches that, Madsen slipped, he's going to walk into the end zone.
Jax Madsen has also played a factor for Emory in the secondary. No Jeremy Brannon in tonight's contest. That'll also be a big factor. Standing at defensive back, Madsen on the right side and Jace Curtis on the left. Four wideout set, trips to the right, one to the left. One man in the backfield now for Bulls here on third down and 12. Emory's defense trying to play strong on a short field. They bring the pressure. Perfectly designed screen, no flag for a hold, and this will definitely go for big yardage all the way down to the 10-yard line. Caden Taylor, the senior, Travis, I wanted a hold back at about the 35-yard line. Slow developing, that's exactly how you want it for the screen, but the officials call it clean, and it's a fresh set of downs for North Sam Pete.
3-4 defenders in the backfield, but the patience down the field. The screen pass, like you said, could have been a hold, not called. Sets up a first down for North Sam Pete on third and long. Emory just can't get off the field, can't get out of their own way.
One of the things I love about Landon Bowles, only being a sophomore, you know you're going to take a shot on a halfback screen. He didn't care. He stood strong in the pocket. There's the snap and a pitch, bobbled pitch, but able to regroup, taking it to the right side, and I believe North Sam Pete has the first touchdown of the game. Yes, they do. A pitch flip to Caden Taylor around the right side, and North Sam Pete draws first blood, 6-0 on a short 28-yard drive with just over 8 minutes to play in the opening quarter.
So they'll pitch to the right side. Caden Taylor takes it all the way to the pylon into the end zone and a 6-0 lead. So Emory had third and long, had a chance to get North Sam Pete off the field. They couldn't come up with a stop. North Sam Pete takes advantage, first and 10, and they score a touchdown.
So now Luis Rodriguez, a senior kicker for the Hawks, will come out for the PAT. He's got a leg on him. We've seen him once already this year. PAT is nearly automatic for this North Sam Pete squad. And again, they draw first blood, taking a 6-0 lead early on in the contest. Snap is clean. It's down. Rodriguez's kick is up, and it is good. 7-0 North Sam Pete. Well, they did have third and long, but they found a way. And now the number one team in the state holds a 7-point lead over the Emory Spartans. We'll break for 30 seconds. When we come back, Emory will have their second drive here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.
A penny saved is a penny earned, and a whole bunch of pennies is what you'll save by refinancing your auto loan with Desert View Federal Credit Union. Find a lower interest rate and a lower monthly payment and put a little extra cash in your pocket with Desert View's low auto rate loans. Come into a branch and see how easy it is to refinance your auto loan and start saving money today at Desert View Federal Credit Union.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
At Desert View, it's all about you.
The Spartans play here.
Aiden Mortensen, number 59.
Deegan Chrisman, number 4.
On 107.3 FM and 750 AM KOAL.
7-0 North San Pete. Just over 8 minutes to play in the opening quarter. 8:10 to be exact. And now the Hawks will kick it back to Emory. Rance Christensen will handle that duty for North San Pete. Back to return deep. Zion Gibson to the left. And Jace Curtis to the right. Short kick. And this one may go out of bounds. No, it did not. Well, it almost. It did not go out of bounds. North San Pete nearly picked up the live ball, and then it went out of bounds. But it will go to Emory. And, Travis, that was extremely dangerous for the Spartans to let that ball bounce down the sideline.
They just stopped playing. No one went towards the ball. They just stopped. North San Pete almost got there. Emory's got to pounce on that ball. Lucky for them, that ball bounced out of bounds. So got to be aware of what's going on the field.
An illegal procedure penalty was thrown. So Emory's going to have the ball at the 35-yard line. Decent field position, but boy, I'll tell you, that was extremely dangerous. It should be North San Pete football. The Spartans catch a break, and we'll see if they can do something with it. James Bowman, the senior, again, his first start at quarterback this season. And Bowman's going to line up once again, and they actually spot this ball, Travis, at the 38-yard line. Bowman's going to line up out of that shotgun set. He's got Curtis to the left and Zion Gibson to the right. They stack two receivers, Riggs Griffin and Jax Madsen, to the right side. Curtis comes in motion. It's a five-man front, hard snap, and I believe that's going to be against Emory. I think it's going to be a false start.
Yeah, he just came out of his stance, rocked him back. They had the initial one, drawn him again, but as he rocked forward, goes against Emory.
Well, first and 10 is now first and 15, so Emory already behind the sticks on their second drive of the ball game. They'll have it back now with the 33-yard line.
Yeah, we talked about it in the pregame, Jordan. You can't be first and 15, first and 20. Can't be in those first and, you know, long situations. So Emory behind the sticks already on their second drive of this first quarter.
They force Bowman to throw the football on this drive, something he did not do last time around. Takes the snap. He wants to keep it. Bowman finds a little bit of room, able to dive past the 35, close to the 37-yard line, about a yard shy of the original line of scrimmage. So now we're looking at second and 11 as the clock continues to run. 7:55 to play in the opening quarter. North San Pete 7, Emory nothing. If you are just joining us, the Hawks scored on a short field, blocking a punt on Emory's first drive of the ball game. And then, despite some struggles initially, picked up a big 3rd and 12 and put it into the end zone on a pitch by Caden Taylor around the outside for 6. Second down at 11. Bowman remains the quarterback. Jace Curtis lines up to the left. 2 wideouts to the left. 2 to the right. And once again, we have movement up front. And I believe this will be against Emory once again. Aiden Mortensen, perhaps the guilty party. Is he? Yes, he is. That is a false start. So now we're looking at second and 16. There was movement by North San Pete off the left side, Cole Mickle. And I know that kid is a handful, leading tackler on this year's squad. But you got to make sure you're disciplined. And, Travis, that's a second false start penalty for Emory on this drive.
Now the junior, Aiden Mortensen, gets caught this time. So, like you said, that's, you know, back-to-back penalties on the offensive line, just rocking back in their position.
Mortensen, the right tackle. 2 wideouts on each side. Emory's going to take a long snap count. Bowman's going to try to run it around the outside again. Has a little bit of room, and that room closes up quickly. Bowman tries to tightrope down the sideline. Picked up decent yardage on the opposite side of the field, but they mark him out of bounds. Well shy of the 40-yard line. Back at the original line of scrimmage, so he gains about 8. But it will set up 3rd down and 10 for Emory with the ball at the 38-yard line.
Going to have to take some chances now passing the ball in the middle of the field or the outside edges. Just getting to the outside is going to be tough with the speed that North San Pete has on that outside edge.
Clock continues. Well, it'll stop momentarily as Bowman went out of bounds. 7:03 to play now in the opening quarter. 7-0, North San Pete with the lead. Second possession for Emory as they move left to right on the radio dial. 2 wideouts on each side of the field. Zion Gibson lines up in the slot. Bowman is going to throw. No, now he's going to run. Quarterback draw. North San Pete not fooled at all. And in all fairness to James Bowman, that pocket collapsed in a hurry on the initial touch. It was Andrew Peterson, the linebacker for North San Pete, and the Emory special teams unit will come back out on the field. They'll punt for the second time from their own 38-yard line.
No, they just didn't pick up the block on the outside and allowed that defense to get in there, swarm Bowman, and sack him. So now fourth and long, a punting situation. Last time they were in this situation, North Stampede blocked the punt.
And North Stampede's going to bring the pressure once again. Teagan Chrisman to punt from his own 25. Teagan's going to get this one away. It's a high end over end punt called for a fair catch, and North Stampede will start at their own 26-yard line. So not a bad boot that time by Teagan Chrisman, and now the Emory Spartan defense will have something to work with. A long field, finally, for North Stampede with the ball at the 26, moving now right to left on the dial. Curious to see how Coach Famalo dials up this defense down 7-0. You're under the impression to take more chances, I know, and I think you almost have to do that, Travis.
You have to. You have to be aggressive. You're going to have to give different looks. You're going to have to blitz up the middle. You're going to have to set someone on the outside edge, come around that outside edge. And occasionally you're going to have to bring that safety over and maybe blitz him as well.
Bulls lines up underneath center. 6:22 to play in the opening quarter. Emory's going to bring the blitz. Hand off up the middle, and North Stampede will get a big chunk of change. Past the 35, close to the 40-yard line. Gain of 9, maybe even 10, depending on the spot. Yep, they're going to give him actually 11 yards.
But that's the problem, Jordan. If you miss your blitz, you miss the initial tackles, they're going to eat you alive on those chunk yards, and that's an easy first down pickup because Emory missed some blocks and also missed tackling.
It was Peyton Clausen, the senior, on the carry for North Stampede. First down and 10. Ball just shy of the 40 at the 39. Emory's going to remain in a four-man front. Bowles is up underneath center once again. Two men in the backfield. Emory stacking the box. Pressure coming once again. A pitch. This one goes to the left side this time. Positive gain for North Stampede. Breaks 1-2. Would-be tacklers. Now up to the 48-yard line. And so Clausen once again doing some work. Ball shy of the 50-yard line. Taken down finally after a big game by Stockton Jensen. And now it's second down and 2. As North Stampede continues, Travis, to pick up big chunks of change on the ground. And that's what I was concerned with. Can you stop the run?
Yeah, Emory 28, Josh Olton was initially there, had the, you know, the tackle in the backfield for a short gain, missed that tackle. He got out of it and picked up, you know, 2, 3, 4 yards after that initial miss.
Bowles goes back up underneath center. He's got two men with him in the backfield. North Stampede taking their time as the clock continues to move. We near 5 minutes in the opening quarter. Hawks with a 7-0 lead. Emory again with a four-man front, two standing defensive ends. The snap, Bowles back to pass. Under a little pressure, has time, throws it deep downfield, and a flag comes out. Obvious hold against Jax Madsen. He had to tie up Mason Bailey because he was beat. And I'll tell you, that's a heads-up play by the junior. It's not a spot foul when it comes to high school football. It's a 15-yard penalty. And that time, you take the 15-yard, well, they're going to call holding. So you take the penalty rather than giving up the big play downfield.
That was a touchdown.
I think it was.
Madsen doesn't reach out and grab the back of the jersey. North Stampede has 6. So it's a smart penalty to take. Like you said, it's not a spot foul. Just, you know.
It'll be 10 yards from the scrimmage. And so now we're looking at first down and 10 for North Stampede. They have the ball on Emory's side of the field. No problem moving it at all. Ball at the 43.
And Madsen lost his footing just a little bit. And when he got beat, all he could do is, you know, reach out, grab the back of the jersey, and slow him up. Smart, you know, defensive
play. That is a smart play. It definitely is. Four-man front now for Emory. The snap, Bowles, quick handoff. This one will go for positive yardage inside the 40, close to the 35-yard line.
And inside draw play, again, a couple missed tackles allows yards after the run to be, you know, initially, you know, 2, and they get 3 more after that for a nice 5-yard gain.
Yeah, Connor Jorgensen on the carry for North Stampede. We got to see a lot of Jorgensen during the first matchup between these two teams and Emory. Stockton Jensen on the takedown. The ball is placed now at the 36-yard line for the Hawks. Bowles looks around. Second down and short. Second and 4 off of the gain of 6. And again, North Stampede taking their time offensively. They are in no hurry, and why should they be? 4 minutes to play here in the opening quarter, and the offense has done exactly what it's wanted to do. Play action. Bowles rolls out, fires, has a man open. Langschwager drops the football. And, well, we talked about that during the pregame show, Travis, and we've seen it over the last few weeks. Teams having success with tight ends across the center of the field. Fortunately for Emory that time, Langschwager drops the football, and now we're looking at third down and a long 4 for North Stampede.
Just an up and out. The throw just a little bit off target, not, you know, in stride with Langschwager, so the ball is incomplete. The throw just needed to be down just a little bit, Jordan. And they have a first down and more.
The Bulls has proven that he can throw the football on the run. A four-man front once again for Emory. Two men in the backfield. And Jorgensen is going to be the short back. flip to the outside, and this will go for positive yardage close to the first down stick. I believe enough for North Sam Peake to continue the drive without having to go for it on fourth down. Peyton Clausen out of the backfield. And you know what? They have him spotted just short, Travis. So now we're looking at about fourth and one. And if that is the case, it'll give the Emory defense an opportunity to make a big play and to give the offense the ball back in semi-decent field position. I agree with you. Yeah. I thought he absolutely had the first down. Now they're going to measure an official timeout. I thought he had enough
for
the first
spot.
Down. I agree with you.
Looked like he got to the outside and had enough from the, you know, initially right in front of us for a first down, but I think that official missed it, and they got a bad spot.
Well, the spot on the far side of the field, the ball marker, means absolutely nothing. It's tough for us to see where the ball is spotted on the near side because of the player standing on the sideline, so the chains will come out. First measurement of the ball game. Again, the score 7-0. North Sam Peake with the lead. 3:53 to play in the opening quarter. And Emory hoping to catch a break here with a spot that definitely was not friendly to North Sam Peake. I do believe he has enough for the first down, though, Travis, after looking at the spot of the ball. And again, we cannot see because of the obstructed view with the players standing on the sidelines. And he is short. Boy, he is going to be short. So the Emory defense will have an opportunity to get North Sam Peake off the field. I have to believe that Coach Bird will go for it.
Yeah, this should be anything, just a quarterback sneak. Just, it's inches.
It is inches.
A little sneak up the middle should be enough. North Sam Peake could probably get the push up front. They should be able to pick the first down. It's like a football length.
It's a couple of chain links, to be exact. But still, you got to prevent that big push up front. We'll see if Emory can get North Sam Peake's offense off the field. Ball is spotted at the 33-yard line. You got to get just inside that 33-yard line hash mark. It's actually positioned on the left side closest to us in the broadcast booth up against the hash mark. Bulls will come up underneath center. Again, Clausen is the deep back. And then we have Jorgensen on the left side, offset I formation with two wideouts. Emory stacks the box. Bulls takes the snap, gives it to Jorgensen, and he's still moving past the second line of defense, and he takes it in for a touchdown on a 33-yard run. Boy, Emory stacked the box. Jorgensen on the quick handoff from Bulls got past the defensive front, and Travis, you get past that linebacking core, there was no safety help, but he was off to the races for six on a 33-yard touchdown run.
Had enough of a gap where he saw the opening in the hole, went right through that gap up, threw it into the end zone, and the Spartan defense unable to keep them off the field once again on a fourth down.
Well, that'll do wonders for your yard per carry. Jorgensen now two carries for 40 yards and a touchdown on the 33-yard run. And now Rodriguez will come out to attempt the PATs. One for one already. 3:41 to play in the opening quarter. 13-0 North Sam Peake. Snap is good. Hold is good. The kick is up, and it is good. 14-0 North Sam Peake. First quarter, Emory will have their third offensive set when we return. 3:41 to play in the opening quarter. You're listening to Emory High School Football on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Choosing a dentist for your child's dental care is a big decision, but Price Pediatric Dental aims to make your decision easy. After just one visit, you and your child will feel right at home, and your kids will beg to come see them again. You have plenty of things to worry about. Don't let your child's dental care be one of them. Get your child on the road to good dental health and call Price Pediatric Dental today at 637-9590. Price Pediatric Dental, making dental work a fun and comforting experience for kids of the Castle Valley.
You're listening to Emory High School Football on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
14-0 North Sam Peake with a two-score lead over the Emory Spartans. And now Christensen comes out to kick it away once again for North Sam Peake. Zion Gibson and Jace Curtis have yet to touch the ball on special teams. So North Sam Peake has obviously done their homework. Here's a kick. Teagan Chrisman lets this one go out of bounds. But listen, if you're North Sam Peake, I'd rather kick this ball out of bounds rather than give Zion or Jace Curtis an opportunity to change the momentum of the game, which we have seen them do this season. You go back to the Carbon game, That's exactly what happened. Zion had a 95-yard kick return for a touchdown. I would kick the ball out of bounds. I really would.
It really doesn't hurt you. Zion getting the ball in his hands hurts you more than kicking that ball out of bounds.
Same with Jace Curtis. They're dangerous in the open
field.
I do it
every time and make them start at the 30.
35 after the illegal procedure penalty. So Emory will have 65 yards of green in front of them. It's the third offensive set. And again, James Bowman, the starting quarterback tonight. So far, limited success as North St. Pete's managed to stick eight in the box and really make things difficult for James Bowman. Curtis is going to line up in the backfield along with Zion Gibson, two wideouts to the right side. It's a five-man front here for the Hawks. Bowman's going to run. Now he's going to throw. He's looking to throw. Nowhere to go, and he's brought down for a sack just beyond the 25-yard line. And so, again, North St. Pete getting into the backfield. Cole Mickle leads the team and tackles, comes up with his first sack of the ballgame.
It's tough for a guy like Bowman who hasn't played quarterback, you know, a lot to make those reads. That one he has to know. He has to get rid of the ball quick. Took his time, tried to roll to the outside, look, and just held too long. That's an easy sack for North St. Pete.
Yeah, but in all fairness, the Hawks, I mean, give a shout-out to their secondary, because if you have 7 men in the box and you still can't find anyone open, that's going to make it very difficult. This time a dump-off pass to Jace Curtis, and he loses more yards. Curtis is brought down at the 20. So this drive started at the 35-yard line, and in two plays, Emory has lost 15 yards. So now we're looking at third and 25.
A little dump-off pass, nothing doing, and North St. Pete's defense has come to play in this first quarter.
There's no question about it. And again, you go back to that second game of the season, week two, it was 2-0 at the end of the first quarter. It was 16-0 at halftime. Coach Famalo had said, this is a defense that's going to make it very difficult on you. They're going to be aggressive, and so far they have. Bowman throws downfield to Olsen. Olsen, I believe, comes down with it. Yes, he does. Then he dropped the ball, and a flag comes out. I actually think that ball might have been intercepted. Boy, there was a tussle for the football between Olsen and a North St. Pete defender at the 40-yard line. Olsen, who has seen an increased role at tight end over the last several weeks, and now we're waiting to see what the ruling is. They're going to call it a completed pass. Bowman to Olsen. It is fourth down. A gain of 18. Gets it up to the 38-yard line. Biggest play from scrimmage of the afternoon so far for Emory. And the special teams unit will come back out on fourth and about 7.
A little jump ball pass in the middle of the field.
Why not? Take a chance.
Yeah, take a chance. And Emory came down with it. He fumbled, but he was down. So fourth down.
Tegan Chrisman comes out for his fourth punt. Third punt.
Third, yeah.
Of the first quarter.
One blocked.
One was blocked. He got the second one away clean. It's a helmet-high snap on the grab. Punt is away cleanly. This will take an Emory bounce at the 30. All the way inside the North St. Pete 15 and out of bounds at the 13. So Tegan Chrisman, the senior, one of his sharpest punts of the season, backs North St. Pete up. That's the idea of not going for it in that particular spot, right? Flip the field and make North St. Pete drive. And they're going to have a lengthy drive coming up now with the ball placed at the 13-yard line. Big-time punt by the senior, Tegan Chrisman.
He got a nice bounce. That thing just rolled out of bounds and died right there at the 13. So 87 yards to go for North St. Pete. We'll see what Emory can do defensively to try to get him a three and out.
Minute 39 to play in the opening quarter. The score, North St. Pete 14, Emory nothing. Emory with a four-man front. Bulls the quarterback for North St. Pete up underneath center. The sophomore fakes it. Now gives it up to Jorgensen, who's had a great game. Flag comes out. Gets the ball up to the 20-yard line. So positive gain if it sticks. But this is in the vicinity of holding, and that's exactly what the call will be. Now that is a spot foul, so we'll see where exactly that spot is.
Around, what, the 16, maybe?
Of course, Emory will accept that. So if that is the case, we'll back him up. And now the Hawks are going to have the ball inside their own 10-yard line. Down to about the 7-yard line. It's a crucial drive here, Travis. You're already down 14-0. You're on the road. You are the underdog. And now you have North St. Pete behind the sticks inside their own 10. I mean, this is Emory's opportunity to gain a little momentum defensively.
Now this is where they have to come up and try to make a defensive stand.
It's about first down and 16 here for North St. Pete. Bulls is up underneath center. Offset eye once again takes the snap. He's going to throw. Bulls wants to go deep. He has a man open. It's caught. Beautiful grab over the top of Zion Gibson to the 35-yard line. He finds senior Peyton Clausen, and there's not much more that Zion Gibson can do. That's terrific defense. But it's just better offense. First down as North St. Pete moves the ball out to the 32-yard line.
It's a great pass. Just poisoned the pocket, makes a nice tight throw. Good spin on the football, and he goes up and makes a heck of a catch right there on Zion Gibson, who had pretty good defense.
Yeah, Zion was right on the spot. We say the best defense is a strong offense. That was proof of it right there. Pro formation this time for the Hawks. Emory's going to bring pressure, handoff, and this goes nowhere. Probably the best offensive play of the game so far, a handoff to Caden Taylor, and Tegan Chrisman got in the backfield to deliver the hit. He had some help as well with Cove Johansson, and now it's second down and 9 for the Hawks. They have the ball at the 32, their own 32-yard line, moving right to left on the dial. And there's 23 seconds to play here in the opening quarter.
Yeah, Tegan just beat number 51, Andrew Peterson, right up the middle and made that stop. So good tackle by Tegan Chrisman.
And Big Teague has had his moments this year. Again, he's played a little bit of everywhere. The line, linebacker, we've seen him on the offensive line. We've seen him at fullback. We've seen him at punt. We've seen him at kick. He's done everything as a senior. Play action. Bulls rolls out, delivers, has a man wide open. It's Jorgensen to the 40. 45 still moving up to the 50-yard line. And that's a first down for North St. Pete. And that will take us to the end of the opening quarter. North St. Pete is rolling right now. They have the ball already at the midfield mark. They lead 14-0 over Emory. The first quarter is in the books. We'll set it back to the studio for 60 seconds. It's North St. Pete football when we return on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Komatsu provides essential mining equipment, systems, and solutions used by companies worldwide to extract the fundamental minerals for developing modern infrastructure, technology, and consumer products. And they have a facility right here locally providing service to the Carbon County mining industry. Komatsu knows mines thrive on efficiency, and their control and drive technology supercharges equipment by improving production rates and lowering costs. Their leading Joy brand of underground and hard rock mining solutions is celebrating 100 years of mining innovation. Komatsu, world leader in mining technology.
Finding a job on your own can be hard. If you're looking for a temporary job or permanent career, Labor Finders and Price can help you get your next paycheck in 4 easy steps. Contact Labor Finders and Price, 637-1782. Take your personal identification to Labor Finders and apply. Get matched with a great local job. Get paid. It's that simple. From construction work to manufacturing, hospitality, or even retail, Labor Finders and Price can help you. Call 637-1782 today. Labor Finders is a sponsor of Castle Country Local Sports.
You're listening to Emory High School Football on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Getting set for second quarter action. 14-0 North St. Pete with the football. They switch sides, so now the Hawks will move left to right. First down at the 50. And in that first quarter, North St. Pete really just doing a number on Emory offensively in this contest. We'll take a look at the statistics here momentarily. I set, Bulls underneath center, now runs the option, pitches it off to the backfield. Tegan Chrisman with another takedown. Tegan gets Caden Taylor down to the backfield for a loss of 5 back in the North St. Pete 46-yard line. 45-yard line is where they spot that football. So Tegan Chrisman with another big-time play.
Yeah, North St. Pete didn't pick up the block, and Tegan got in the backfield and made a play, wrapped up, and made sure that nothing came out of that. So Tegan Christensen made two plays, you know, back-to-back plays.
Bulls up underneath center, offset eye once again. Emory this time is going to bring a four-man front. Gibson lines up just inside the slot. Bulls is going to throw, has time, fires, wants to go to Langschwager, who comes down with a grab to the 35-yard line, to the 30. Still on his feet, brought down at the 26-yard line. North St. Pete continues to make big play after big play. Move the sticks, first and 10. North St. Pete in business once again. Every time Emory creates a little bit of momentum, this North St. Pete offense has the answer.
That air raid offense once again answers with a nice pass play and poisoned the pocket as North St. Pete. Quarterback makes a great throw to the outside edge. Emory has a chance to knock that football down. They can't.
First down and 10. And again, like you and I had talked about, you look at it on paper, you say a sophomore quarterback. At this point in time, you're not a sophomore if you have progressed properly, and Landon Bulls definitely has. I mean, he has definitely progressed into a big-time player, and he still has 2 more years.
Yeah, he makes the reads, and
yes,
he knows, you know, how to get the football to only his wide receiver, pinpoint passes.
Play action under pressure. Zion Gibson flushes Bulls outside the pocket to the right side. Bulls is in trouble, throws on the run, and it's an incomplete pass. Threw that ball just to get away from it on the North St. Pete sideline. Emory brought high pressure. Slow to get up for Emory on the play. Chasing Bulls to the right sideline was Aiden Mortensen. But there's the pressure that we talked about as well. Zion just not quick enough to grab Bulls, who had the angle on him to get outside of the pocket, out of the tackle box, and throw it away down the middle of the field.
Yeah, and Bulls does a good job of, you know, keeping that play alive as long as he could, and almost had his receiver downfield before he ran out of real estate and went out of bounds.
He creates a lot of time, and with the playmakers that North Stampede has on the outside, it makes life very difficult for a secondary. And the Emory secondary has been fairly good all season long, but when you have those skill position players and a quarterback that can create time and move the defense with his eyes in the pocket, that's what you get. Bulls is up underneath center once again. Emory's looking to bring the pressure. Tegan Crispin wants to come in between the center and the guard. Long snap count this time for Bulls. Once again, taking his time at the line of scrimmage, and now we have a timeout taken by Coach Rhett Bird. That time, seeing if he could get a cheap 5 yards from Emory. The Spartans didn't bite. Second down and 10 for the Hawks. They are in business, looking for their third touchdown in as many drives when we return on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. It's 14-0 North Stampede in the opening round of the 3A State Championship Tournament.
His wife's words echoed in his mind.
You never fix anything around here.
Well, today that would change. He would fix the water heater. He'd show her that he was the handyman of this house. He was more than capable. Oh, no. Covered it. August 14th, 2008. Talk to farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance Exchange and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Call me, Billy Vigor, at 637-3077 or visit me online, billyvigorinsurance.com.
Emory High School football on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM is brought to you in part by R&K Muffler, The Coffee Shop, Krantz Motors, Labor Finders, Castleview Physical Therapy, USU Eastern, Emory Telcom, KFC and A&W, Price Pediatric Dental, and Sutherland's.
10:26 to play in the opening half. North Stampede 14, Emory nothing. North Stampede with the ball just inside the Emory 30-yard line. Bulls is up underneath center out of the timeout. And now he's receiving some instructions from the sidelines as North Stampede got a good look at the Emory defense. The Emory secondary is now going to shift to the right side. Bull still up under center, takes the snap, pitch into the backfield. Room to run around the right side. Zion Gibson closes quickly. And so that goes for no gain. Zion, Johnny on the spot that go around. Caden Taylor with a pitch trying to take it outside the numbers. And Zion made the right shift. Travis came up with a big takedown, a loss of one. So now it's 3rd and 11. Not the first time we've seen North Stampede in a 3rd and long situation. And they have passed each time with flying colors.
So Caden Taylor just missed where he needed to go. He cut to the outside towards the sideline. If he cuts back to the inside, he has a big hole. 1st down and more. He just misread the read.
Bulls will go to the shotgun set. He's got one man with him in the backfield. Emory again with a 4-man front. Tegan Crispin's going to bring the pressure up the middle. Tegan nearly got there. Delivers a strike. Another dime on the money across the center of the field up the seam. And North Stampede will be just outside the 10-yard line down to the 12. Bulls once again with a terrific throw. He finds his man across the center of the field. Travis moved the sticks, 1st and 10, North Stampede.
Atlanta Bulls now 5 of 8, 105 yards, averaging 21 yards per throw.
You get the feeling that he can connect whenever he wants. That time, Caden Taylor across the center of the field, 2-man backfield for Bulls, as he's going to go up underneath center. Emory's going to remain in a 4-man front.
Got Emory in a crossing route.
Snapping a handoff. This one goes to Jorgensen. Positive yardage inside the 10-yard line. Looks like he got to the 9. So pick up a 4 to set up 2nd down and 6. You know, if you're Coach Bird, right now you're looking for efficient drives, right? I mean, that's what shows true progression. Mm-hmm. Every now and then you're going to punch one off for a big game. We saw Jorgensen take one for 33 yards. But when you put together a 10 or 12 play drive for 90 yards or 87 yards, I mean, that's the efficient football that's going to push you far in the 3A state tournament. And that's what North Stampede is in the midst of right now. Remember, they were inside their own 15 following the punt from Crispin. Bulls is underneath center, takes the snap, hands it off. It's Jorgensen, picks his spot, goes into the end zone, untouched for 6 more on a run of 9 yards. And now it's 20-0, North Stampede, with 8:31 to play in the opening half. That's a patient run. 2nd touchdown of the afternoon by Jorgensen. He scored 1 already
Emory on their back heels, deep in their own territory. Didn't get enough push up front. North San Pete's offensive line gets that push. It's an easy walk-in touchdown.
That's a 10-play, 87-yard drive for North San Pete. That's as great as it gets if you're an offensive coordinator. They did whatever they wanted to do. Snap is good. The hold is down. The kick is up. And Rodriguez puts it through. 21-0 North San Pete. Emory's football. We'll see if the offense can get something moving in the opening round of the 3A state tournament right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Again, 21-0 North San Pete.
Science indicates access to high-speed internet during the school years can lead to, but is not limited to, streamlined acquisition of data, academic achievement, career advancement, satisfying relationships, cuter children, and joy. Our conclusion? Procure eFiber or Xstream Internet from Emory Telecom today. Contact Emory Telecom for a special back-to-school offer at 613-9605.
The Spartans play here.
Aiden Mortensen, number 59.
Deegan Chrisman, number 4.
On 107.3 FM and 750 AM KOAL.
21-0 North San Pete. The Hawks will boot this football away from the 40. Christensen will come out to handle it. Jace Curtis and Zion Gibson stand back at their own 5-yard line. Emory's going to be moving right to left now with the radio dial. It'll be their first offensive set here in the second quarter with 8:31 to play in the first half. And it may just be a do-or-die type drive for Emory. This one's a deep kick, and it goes over the top of Jace Curtis's head out of the end zone. And so Emory will start now from the 20-yard line. Once again, no return for Curtis or Gibson.
And that's one part that North San Pete's did a good job taking that element away, the special
Absolutely.
Teams element for Emory. It's a very good on, no return. So this drive starts at the 20. You know, the previous three were at the 35.
Well, we know James Bowman can throw the football. We saw it on the last drive as he connected with Josh Olson on one of his only throws of the ball game so far from the quarterback spot. And we talked about seeing Bowman in a lot of man-to-man coverage on the outside. Not the case today because he is playing at the quarterback spot with the Riker Jensen and Seth Justice both out. Bowman waiting for the hard snap count, trying to get any possible free yardage. Takes the snap. Now he's going to keep it himself. Thought about handing it off to Gibson, and Bowman's going to go for a positive gain. A hard-fought 4 yards for Bowman as he takes it around the left side to set up second down and 6.
Just kept his legs turned and kept moving. Like you said, that's a hard tackle, you know, hard run for 4 yards.
Cole Mickle on the takedown for North San Pete. You call his name an awful lot. He's a ball hawk, isn't he?
He's a ball. He's very good on that outside. I just keep watching. He sets up on the outside. The first, you know, play of the game, he almost got in there and got the sack to start things off. So, you know, he's a nuisance over there.
Got to keep your eyes on him at all times defensively for North San Pete. Back into the shotgun set. Once again, it's Bowman. He's going to be in the shotgun all night. You'll never see him under center. Fakes the handoff to Gibson and now spins off a couple of would-be tacklers. Past the 25 to the 26-yard line. Third down coming up for Emory. They got to get to the 30. So now we're looking at about, well, you know what, they did not give him but 2 yards. Yeah, they got him to about the 26. So now we're looking at a third and short 4 here for Emory. Again, they got to get the ball to the 30-yard line, trailing 21-0 with 7:20 to play in the first half.
One thing for Bowen, if he's going to spin off like that, he's got to keep the ball down low. If he keeps raising that ball up high like that, North San Pete could punch that thing loose.
Curtis is going to line up to the left side of Bowman. Bowman with 2 wideouts. Takes the snap, and Bowman's going to keep it once again. Bowman with a spin move to the 30, 35, 40. Bowman in the open field to the 50, brought down from behind. Biggest play of the game from scrimmage for Emory. Bowman gets inside the 45-yard line, down to the 44 for the Emory Spartans. Big-time play for James Bowman on the quarterback keeper.
Quarterback keeper went up the A gap. A couple missed tackles by Norris Sampete allows Bowman to get into space. And off to the races, he went for a big game pass to 50 all the way to the 45 on the North San Pete side of the field.
Bowman now 9 carries for 34 yards, and a good chunk of it comes on that particular play. A highly important drive for Emory with 6:43 to play here in the first half. Clock is moving. Bowman has Curtis to his left side, lining up outside the hash marks. It's Jax Madsen with Riggs Griffin in the slot. Bowman's going to take the quarterback keeper once again, and Bowman maybe got back to the line of scrimmage. They'll say he lost half a yard, so now it's second down and 11. And I'll tell you what, James has taken a lot of punishment so far in this game. A lot of hits.
Took that snap and didn't really have his momentum going forward. Kind of stumbled as he got the ball. And it allowed North Stampede to get down there, make that tackle. Two guys in there. Number 44, that's Jackson Langschwager in on the tackle.
Remember, Bowman also was hurt this year. He suffered a shoulder injury in the three-point loss to American Leadership Academy earlier this season when he had a stretch-out, beautiful grab in the end zone and missed a good 3 to 4 weeks of the season. Second down, 11. Bowman with two wideouts on each side. Zion Gibson lines up in the slot. Bowman's going to throw, and that pass was knocked down to the line of scrimmage. It was intended for Jax Mattson. Sets up third down and 11 for Emory, and it does stop the clock. Emory for the first time in this game on North Stampede's side of the field with 5:44 to play in the second quarter.
Now just a low throw to Mattson. Had no chance right at his feet. Bowman's got to take his time, and that one was just a two-step drop and then fired.
But not a lot of experience throwing in the pocket.
No, and that's one thing, you know, you can't, because he hasn't played quarterback all year, or, you know, very sparingly he's played the quarterback spot. So those are things, you know, he's really not accustomed to, is the timing and the reading.
Well, that internal clock goes off a little bit earlier when you are constantly being hit in the pocket, and that's what's happened so far in this game. North Stampede has brought pressure. That's an aggressive defense, and they've made it difficult on Bowman. Back into the shotgun, he stands at his own 50. Emory needs to get all the way to the 35-yard line. Jace Curtis now on the right side. Zion Gibson, strong side as well. The snap, and I believe we had, well, boy, Emory was very fortunate to not get a false start as Zion Gibson lost his footing. Coach Famala wants to take a timeout. It's an important couple of downs. I believe it's four-down territory for Emory. They trail 21-0 to the North Stampede Hawks. 5:43 to play in the opening quarter. We'll pause for 30 seconds. It's Emory football when we return on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
This is Dr. Kelly Jensen of High Desert Orthopedics. I know that a quickly treated sports-related injury will heal faster and get your athlete back in the game sooner and healthier. That is why my staff at High Desert Orthopedics is committed to making sure your injury is assessed and treated started within 24 hours of when you contact my office in almost all situations. So if your athlete needs treatment, call High Desert Orthopedics at 637-BONE. High Desert Orthopedics, the best care your athlete deserves.
The Spartans play here.
James Bowman, number 5.
Jeremy Brannon, number 18.
Tristan Leroy, number 1.
On 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, KOAL.
Third down, 11 for Emory out of the timeout. Bowman in the shotgun to the right side. It's Jace Curtis. Two wideouts to the left, two to the right. Jax Mattson and Zion Gibson lining up on the left side. Josh Olson, the tight end, on the right side with Riggs Griffin. The snap and Bowman to throw. Has time across the center of the field. Incomplete pass knocked away by Brady Jacobson, but a flag comes out late, and there may have been some interference. But I'll tell you, Jacobson made a terrific play. Bowman tried to find the sophomore Olson across the center of the field. Let's see what the flag is. It may extend this Emory drive. And it is pass interference against North Stampede. That's a 15-yard penalty, and that'll give Emory a fresh set of downs.
Might have just got a little hand on his back. Didn't really sit. I thought it was a clean, you know, defensive
stop. Well, it was a clean
stop.
Swap by Jacobson, but that's not the guilty party, I don't believe. Because Jacobson managed to pull over from the right side and swat the football away.
Must have got Peyton Clawson, 15.
I'm pretty sure that's who was the guilty party. 5:38 now to play here with the first half. Emory with a fresh set of downs, and again, they are deep into North Stampede territory for the first time in this game. 30 yards away from touching Pater, close to the red zone as well, as Bowman's going to go back into the shotgun set. Curtis moves over to the right side. Zion Gibson may have man-to-man coverage on the left side, depending on the safety help here for North Stampede. The high snap, Bowman decides he's going to hand it off this time to Curtis. And maybe would have been better off keeping the ball and taking it to the left side, because North Stampede managed to collapse the pocket almost immediately, and that's a loss of 4 yards to set up second and 14.
It wasn't a clean snap to begin with. Bowman had to go up for as he came down, then he gave the ball off. So things went, you know,
wrong right off the
bat. Wrong from the snap. Yeah, the snap was a little high.
The clock continues to tick. With 5 minutes even now to play here in the opening half. 21-0, North Stampede with the lead, but Emory is threatening to put up its first points of the ball game inside the North Stampede 35. Bowman takes the snap, rolls out, fires. Throw was low and incomplete. Tried to go to Cannon Sharp, the junior.
Cannon Sharp was thinking, well, if that throw is just a little bit up, it's a catch, and it brings, you know, third and short.
Yeah, he was in the right spot. Sharp's just going to run a quick curl route. Came back to the football, but unfortunately it hits the turf, and now it's third down And a long 13 here for the Spartans, needing to get the ball to the 20-yard line, and they have the ball just inside that 34.
Still four-down territory for
Absolutely.
Emory.
I think it is for the rest of the game at this point. Bowman back into the shotgun, Curtis to the right. Cannon Sharp lines up to the left with Zion Gibson in the slot. Bowman's going to roll out to the right side. Nice pickup by Curtis. Throws a pass on the run. Jax Madsen with a grab inside the 30, down to the 29-yard line.
Maybe got a yard, if they're lucky.
Well, he got past the original line of scrimmage, so it's probably a gain of about 5, maybe 4 yards at the most. It's 4th down and 9. Bowman rolled out immediately after receiving that snap. Just delivered a bullet pass to Jax Madsen. He was able to corral it in, and now we're looking at 4th down and about 9 yards, and Emory's offense is going to stay on the field. Ball inside the 30, down to the 29-yard line. It's as deep as Emory has been. Clock is moving. 4 minutes and 10 seconds to play in the first half. Bowman is in the shotgun set. Trips to the left this go-around. One wide out to the right side. That's Madsen as he draws man-to-man coverage. Hard snap count, and I believe Emory jumped once again. I don't think it was North St. Pete. I think it was the Emory offensive line, and if that's the case, 4th and 9 is going to become 4th and 14. Let's see, maybe it will work in Emory's favor.
It's the third time tonight. If it's on Emory.
Yeah, it'd be the third false start, and the referees are still talking about this at the 29-yard line, who this will go against.
It's North Stampede. That's the second time Emory had got them on the hard count.
Now all officials are getting together to talk about it. White Hat's going to come out and make the official call here. Is that a timeout by Emory? Before there was any movement. So we'll keep it here. Coach Famalo taking his second time out of the half.
Second time that he's got to call timeout to, you know, prevented a penalty.
Yep.
Zion, you know, came out of his stance, should have been called for an offense, but they got the timeout now that time.
Emory again with a ball at the 29-yard line on North Sam Pete's side of the field, moving right to left on the radio dial. It's Emory High School football on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, and we are streaming live at CastleCountryRadio.com, courtesy of Bill's Home Furnishings. Coming up in about 4 minutes, we'll move into the Dr. Blake Hillstead halftime report. We'll take a look at the first half statistics. And really, outside of a couple of offensive plays for Emory, it's a game that has been dominated by North St. Pete. But I'll tell you, any time a team can go 87 yards in 10 plays, it's impressive. And that's what the Hawks just did on their previous possession.
Looked good doing it, too. Ran the ball, had a couple
nice
pass
balance.
Plays down.
Yep.
Yeah, just balanced offensive sit on that 87 yards that they went down on, you know, 10-plus plays.
Fourth down and 9 for Emory out of the timeout. 2 wideouts to the left, 3 wideouts to the left, 1 to the right. Zion Gibson runs off of the field. Lining up in the slot this go-around is Riggs Griffin. Bowman, hard snap count, takes the snap, throws it, bubble screen to Griffin. Now he's going to throw. Griffin wants to launch it downfield. Griffin tries to get away, and he's not going to get very far. Past the line of scrimmage for about a gain of 1. And that'll be a turnover on downs for Emory. He wanted to throw the football downfield. North St. Pete was not fooled. His other option could have been James Bowman outside the numbers
back
on the right
the
side of the field.
Back across to James. James looked like he had some running room over to the outside. They go back to him. They didn't. Good job by North St. Pete Stevens. The safety and the free safety both back there. Not fooled at all.
We have an injured Spartan down on the field. Turnover on downs. The ball will go back to North St. Pete with 3:47 to play in the first half. We'll take a quick commercial break. And again, North St. Pete football, they're at the 29-yard line, their own 29-yard line, when we return on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
A penny saved is a penny earned, and a whole bunch of pennies is what you'll save by refinancing your auto loan with Desert View Federal Credit Union. Find a lower interest rate and a lower monthly payment and put a little extra cash in your pocket with Desert View's low auto rate loans. Come into a branch and see how easy it is to refinance your auto loan and start saving money today at Desert View Federal Credit Union.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
At Desert View, it's all about you.
So, tell me something. Do these modern trucks have a switch to roll up the window, or do you prefer driving with the window down in the middle of winter?
Funny. The motor inside the door is broken. I don't know how to fix it. And why didn't you bring a coat?
I hate wearing a coat inside a vehicle. Why don't you stop by Frank's Glass? They fix electric windows, you know.
No. No, I did not. When were you going to reveal this important information to me?
I just did.
Frank's Glass repairs and installs door window regulators located at 128 West Main Street. Or visit Frank's Glass on Facebook or Instagram.
The Spartans play here.
Seth Justice, number 7.
Zion Gibson, number 9.
Riker Jensen, number 11.
On 107.3 FM and 750 AM KOAL.
Injured Spartan on the play was Riggs Griffin. He managed to walk off on his own power, and so now it's North San Pete football. Four left hash mark, moving left to right on the dial. We'll see if this offense can pick up where they left off or if the Emory defense can come up with a stop. It's been tough sledding so far in this game for this Emory defense. Bulls is up underneath center, takes the snap. No play action. Instead, he hands it off, bringing it to the right side is Peyton Clawson. The edge was cut off by Zion Gibson, and Clawson has nowhere to go but out of bounds. And you have to credit Zion Gibson on that one, Travis. He managed to seal off the angle. Clawson had nowhere to go but out of bounds. Maybe a gain of 2. So now it's looking at 2nd and 8 now for North San Pete. So it was Gibson initially. Curtis pushed him out officially. But again, that's how you erase large chunks of the field.
North San Pete now with 200 total yards in this first half. Emory has 43 total yards.
That's a big difference.
Huge difference, yeah. And Zion did a good job. His speed got to the outside. It didn't allow Clawson to get upfield. So short, minimal game, 2nd and 8.
Bulls up underneath center. Crispin's going to bring the blitz. Wants to apply pressure. He's picked up. Bulls is now going to run. Bulls is met. And he's taken down by a gang of Emory Spartan defenders. Travis, that right there, a very stellar defensive play by Trace Justison, the sophomore, who managed to slow down Bulls. And then Aiden Mortensen finished off the deal, but without Justison, that doesn't happen.
No, he did a good job. What is he, 10th grader? The sophomore, Trace. Yeah. So Trace there in there, not allowing North San Pete to move upfield. So now it's 3rd and long.
3rd and 7.
For the Hawks.
Hawks need to get the ball to the 39-yard line. Ball right now just shy of that 32. Bulls is going to go to the shotgun set. He's had a lot of success out of this formation of the game, a four-man front for Emory. Showing blitz up the center of the field for the Spartans is Luke Stilson. There's the snap. Bulls throws. Bulls is passed. Knocked down by Jace Curtis. Nearly intercepted. Tried to work the sideline to Lane Eliason. Instead, it's 4th down and 7. Curtis smacks the turf. He knew he had an opportunity for an INT, but unfortunately could not hang on to it. And for the first time in this ball game, North San Pete is going to punt. They hold a 21-0 lead with 2:40 to play here in the first half.
Now that throw just a little bit off. Had him open initially, and then when he pumped it and put the ball back down.
Curtis didn't bite on the fake.
Didn't bite, and Curtis should have picked that one off.
Rodriguez to punt it up. It's a high riser, but not a deep punt at all. It does take an North San Pete bounce inside the 40, down to the 35, keep rolling to the 34. It keeps rolling to the 34, I should say, and that's where Emory will take over. So not a great punt, but the friendly bounce, and now Emory with about 66 yards of green sitting in front of them. We'll see the offense come back out. They've had moments. They've had a couple of plays that have shifted field position. Finally, the defense comes up with a big stop, and sometimes that's great for momentum.
Last possession was their best offensive drive of the first half, where they got all the way down to the North San Pete 29-yard line. Couldn't come up with anything, so a little bit of time left before half to make something happen. Got, 66 yards to go.
Maybe settling in just a bit. Again on the clock, 2 minutes and 31 seconds to play in the first half. North San Pete dominating so far, 21-0 in the opening round of the state tournament. North San Pete, the number one team in the state. Emory, the last team to get into the playoffs at number 16. Bowman takes the snap, drops back in the pocket, fires to the sideline, and I don't know how that ball was not intercepted.
Well, 4 North San Pete Hawks right there had a chance to pick that one off. Bowman just floated that one towards the North San Pete sideline.
Definitely a miscommunication offensively for Emory. Parker Lee able to poke the ball away.
Now, 4 defenders there.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it wasn't picked.
One of those guys has to come up with it, and they don't, so Emory dodged the bullet on that one.
Yeah, but it was great awareness by North San Pete's defense, because when Bowman dropped back, took his 3-step drop, they knew instantly there was no way he was going to run. They dropped back into coverage.
Yeah, they shifted towards their sideline, and that's where the pass went. So great job of reading Bowman's eyes.
4 wideouts, 2 on each side. Curtis in the backfield now for Bowman. Bowman takes the slap snap, and now a quarterback draw up the middle. He's got a little room to run. Bowman up to the 41-yard line. So a positive pickup on 3rd down, and North Stampede's going to take a timeout to stop the clock. They want another crack at it offensively in this first half with 2:14. I believe is what it is. 2:14
to play. Little five-yard burst by Bowman.
Third and about 4 yards coming up here for Emory with the ball at the 40-yard line. Timeout is taken by North Stampede. We're going to keep it here. Again, coming up on the Dr. Blake Hillstead Halftime Report, we'll recap everything that's gone down in the first half. We'll take a look at the scoring plays and the overall team statistics. I know you mentioned it a moment ago that North Stampede offensively really doing work. They are now sitting total yards, I believe, for the game 200 compared to 50 for Emory. So far here in the first half.
9 first downs for the Hawks, 2 for Emory. Third down efficiency, 1 of 5 for Emory, 2 of 4 for North Stampede. Fourth down efficiency, 0 for 1 for Emory and 1 for 1 for North Stampede.
Yeah, you look at the third down efficiency and you say 2 of 4, but here's the thing. North Stampede really hasn't been in situations for third downs. And you'll take 50% on third down conversions
they had one third
any day
13
of the week.
That they converted and then another made them in third and 9 that they converted right down the field, picked up 20-25 plus yards on a nice pass play. But
in the one third down they did not convert, it was third and a couple of inches, and they scored a touchdown on that play, so on the next play on fourth down. So yeah, they've been pretty good on third down. Emory's defense has had a couple of opportunities to get the offense back on the field, and now here at third down and about 4, we'll see if they can extend the drive fresh out of the timeout from the Hawks. Bowman back into the shotgun set. Three-man standing front this time for the North Stampede Hawks. Emory trying to spread the field a bit with a 4-wide-out set, and Curtis standing to the right of Bowman. Here comes the pressure. Bowman's going to take it to the right side, throws the ball up the air. It's intercepted, and this will go back for a pick six. I don't believe anybody's going to catch him. That's Brady Jacobson, and Jacobson takes it all the way in for a pick six of about 40 yards. Bowman got hit as he threw the football, rolling out to the right side, and there was no one in the vicinity as that ball sat in the air. But Jacobson, who takes it in for 6, and it's 27-0 North Stampede.
Now Bowman, little jump pass, didn't read. The corner was right there and just tossed it right
to hit.
Him. Yeah, and that's a pick 6. It's just a bad read.
Pressure came from behind, and Bowman was hit as he threw the football. Definitely didn't help the trajectory of it. But again, Brady Jacobson, the junior, we've called his name multiple times so far tonight, making plays in the secondary. And now the Hawks have opened up a 27-0 lead. High snap, down correctly, kick is up, and it is good. Rodriguez an ace on PATs. And now it's 28-0 North Stampede. There's 2:03 to play here in the second quarter as we are nearing the mercy rule. We'll set it back to the studio for 30 seconds. Emory will have one more crack at it offensively to try to put up some points before we go into the break.
Science indicates access to high-speed internet during the school years can lead to, but is not limited to, streamlined acquisition of data, academic achievement, career advancement, satisfying relationships, cuter children, and joy. Our conclusion? Procure e-fiber or Xtreme internet from Emory Telecom today. Contact Emory Telecom for a special back-to-school offer at 613-9605.
Emory Spartan football continues on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM KOAL.
28-0 North Stampede, second quarter.
Brady Jacobson 40 yards the other way as Bowen was hit. And that timeout that North Stampede used on that third down paid off.
Definitely did. Just over 2 minutes to play here in the first half. And now Christensen will boot it back to Emory. Again, Curtis standing deep along with Gibson. Last time Christensen booted it over Curtis's head. This time it'll take a bounce at the 10, and for the first time, Emory will have a chance to return a kick. Jace Curtis wants to go to the right side, had a little bit of room, but it evaporated quickly as he stripped up at the 21-yard line. Emory's offense will come back out onto the field, trying to get something going under senior quarterback James Bowman. And it looks like this is going to be a little bit of a different look for Emory. Teague and Chrisman's going to line up. Well, we've seen Teague line up at tight end. Can't tell if Teague's going to line up outside the numbers or if he's walking out off the field. I think he's actually coming out of the game. But again, they've used him in a variety of spots. I mean, we've seen him play at least 3 different positions offensively.
Yeah, mostly in that tight end role, but we've seen him in different, sets with the offense.
Bowman will come out as the quarterback once again, lining up outside the numbers on the left side. It's Cannon Sharp. Sharp way to the outside. Jax Madsen lines up in the slot.
Bowman's 4 of 8 17 yards.
Takes the snap, makes the handoff to Zion, and Bowman's going to roll to the right side, picks up maybe a yard. Second down and 9 coming up as the clock continues to move with a minute 45 to play in the second. And on the takedown again for North Sam Pete, the kid that we talked about during the pregame show, Cole Mickle, leads the team in tackles. That's a good-looking football squad. It's important to note that North Sam Pete, number one team in the state, they did not win the region. And that battle with Juab was an entertaining one. The final score was 28-5. We'll talk more about that in a second. A handoff to Zion Gibson gets past the 25 up to the 27-yard line. This North Sam Pete team has definitely caused a couple of safeties this season. It's a stat you don't see a whole lot of. But, Travis, when really you look at the top four teams in the state, you can place them any which way you want, 1, 2, 3, 4, and that's what Coach Famalo told us during the pregame show, that it really didn't matter who they drew because really all four of those teams are lights out, very talented, top-heavy 3A.
Offensively, defensively, all four, like he talked about, are pretty solid.
Third down and about 3 here for Emory. The snap and a handoff to Gibson, and Zion lost the football. Zion lost the football. It's recovered by Langschwager. But his knee was on the ground, and now North Sam Pete will have the ball inside the Emory 30 at the 29-yard line.
Zion just took his eyes off the ball as he was getting it, was thinking about that hole that he saw before he had the ball and fumbled it.
26-yard line, excuse me. And so now North Sam Pete will have a chance to put up 6 more offensively. They have plenty of time, 40 seconds. And again, reps are so important. Even in a game like this where North Sam Pete has complete control, if you're Coach Bird, it's an opportunity to reenact a situation where you have to use that 2-minute offense, which you're going to have to go to, you would assume, at some point in time if you were to advance deeper into the playoffs. Bowles is going to go back into the shotgun set where, again, he has had a lot of success. He rolls trips to the right, 1 wide out to the left, 1 man in the backfield with him.
And nothing beats live game action reps.
Bowles to throw across the center of the field, nearly intercepted. Big-time play by Jax Madsen. I'll tell you, I've had a blast watching the junior Madsen play all season long. He's definitely been one of the top options on the outside, and as far as the secondary is concerned, Emory secondary's played a pretty decent season, and they've been led by Jax Madsen. Clock stops, 2nd and 10. Ball at the 26 for North Sam Pete. They lead 28-0 with 35 seconds to play in the second.
The Bulls tried to hit Jorgensen, but Madsen came up, got his hand through the body of the defender, or the offensive player, knocked that football loose.
We got to the right side in motion. This go-around, it's Caden Taylor. Taylor's a speedster, and now we have a flag, and that's a false start against North Sam Pete. So now the ball is going to go back to about the 31-yard line. 2nd down and 15 for North Sam Pete. Bulls going to remain in the shotgun set, obviously. But again, there are certain stages of the game that really interest me, and this is definitely one of them. I want to see how Emory's defense can respond. Can they prevent a quick score here at the end of the first half? How does North Sam Pete look in the 2-minute offense? Let's find out. Bulls back in the shotgun set. Takes the snap, stands back at his 40, flushed out of the pocket under pressure. Throws on the run, has Langschwager. I believe that ball hit the turf, and it did. That's a brilliant effort. But Zion Gibson lurking defensively did just enough to cause it. Tyler Stilson was also back in the secondary, and that pass is incomplete. And again, that's the Emory secondary making things difficult on the opposition. 27 seconds to play in the second quarter, and now we're looking at 3rd and 15.
Bulls had a chance to, you know, tuck that ball and run. A lot of green grass in front of him. Instead, tries to fire downfield just a little bit short.
Yeah, but he can throw on the run.
He can.
And he can throw the football on the run. He's a good-looking athlete. Bulls is going to go back into the shotgun again. This time climbs the pocket, throws. He has man-to-man coverage deep. Pass up in the air, and it's intercepted by Emory in the end zone. The Spartans come out with a big defensive play. A flag is down on the 1-yard line.
Or is that
they're going to spot this ball at the 1 rather than a touchback?
Yeah, that's the ball marker. Spotted at the 1. Said he caught it at the 1. Momentum carried him into the end zone, which means Emory takes over at the 1.
I don't agree with that call. I mean, it's tough to see from that far angle. And I believe the interception, I believe it was Jace Curtis. Nope, excuse me, Luke Stilson that came down with the interception off of the tip. But Bulls Wanted man-to-man coverage. He had it momentarily. The pass was deflected, and then Stilson came in on the backside and came up with a pickoff and a deflection. Yeah, maybe, and I don't know if it's actually going to matter or not. We look at the clock, 20 seconds to play here in the first half. So I would expect James Bowman to go up underneath center, take a quarterback sneak up the middle, and that should take us into the midway point. But let's see if Coach Famalo decides to run something. No, Bowman's going to come up underneath center. He's got Jace Curtis deep into the end zone. And there's Bowman to take a quarterback sneak, and that should take us to the end of the first half, and I believe it will. A first half that was dominated by Nord St. Pete, and the Hawks had an opportunity to put up six more late, but the Emory defense forces their first takeaway of the ball game. And so we go to the midway point, one half in the books. The last time these two squads went toe-to-toe, it was 16-0 Nord St. Pete at halftime. This time it's 28-0. We still have two quarters of football for Emory to try to make a move to extend the season. Coming up, we have the Dr. Blake Hillstead halftime report. We'll take a look at the individual and team statistics and get set for another half of football. Emory High School football on KOAO, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. Again, the score, North St. Pete, 28, Emory nothing.
You can have a healthy, beautiful smile at any age. Orthodontic treatment is a viable option for almost any adult. Like kids, adults can experience the self-assurance that comes with a confident smile, along with the benefits of improved oral health. Hillstead Orthodontics would like to help you on your orthodontic journey. Come in for a free consultation and see how Hillstead Orthodontics can get you on your way to a beautiful smile. Affordable payment plans are available. Now, as a kid, you might not have been able to afford braces, but now you can. Call 637-2222 for an appointment today.
A penny saved is a penny earned, and a whole bunch of pennies is what you'll save by refinancing your auto loan with Desert View Federal Credit Union. Find a lower interest rate and a lower monthly payment and put a little extra cash in your pocket with Desert View's low auto rate loans. Come into a branch and see how easy it is to refinance your auto loan and start saving money today at Desert View Federal Credit Union.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
At Desert View, it's all about you.
Fall is coming. Finish those outdoor projects with help from the experts at Sutherland's. If it's a deck you need to build, we have everything you need from the ground up. Right now, concrete deck supports are only $7.99. Don't forget the wooden balusters. They're a steal for just $1.29. Make the most of your time with a reusable fast framer tool. No need for a level or square with this invention. It quickly aligns studs, giving you the confidence to know you're completing your project right. Right now, save $10, but only while supplies last. Only at Sutherland's.
Football season is underway, and whether you're a busy mom taking kids back and forth to practice, looking for a quick meal to take to the game, or need a fast, delicious way to feed some hungry athletes, KFC has you covered. Make a quick stop at KFC for an affordable 8-piece meal deal. It's plenty of food to feed your entire family with juicy, crispy chicken, savory mashed potatoes, gravy, coleslaw, and biscuits. One quick and easy stop at KFC, and you've got dinner covered.
Emory High School football on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM is brought to you in part by R&K Muffler, The Coffee Shop, Krantz Motors, Labor Finders, Castleview Physical Therapy, USU Eastern, Emory Telcom, KFC and A&W, Price Pediatric Dental, and Sutherland's.
It's that time of year again. You send your perfectly healthy kids back to school and, no fail, just a few weeks later, they're sick. When that ever-popular cold bug is passed to your kids, make sure you tell your doctor you want your prescription sent to Price Family Pharmacy. Price Family Pharmacy can make taking medicine more fun for your kids. They can flavor your medicine in your choice of flavor. And since they're a compounding pharmacy, they can even help the medicine taste better for your kids. Back to school means back to colds. Make taking your medicine easier with Price Family Pharmacy.
The muzzleloader and rifle hunts are fast approaching. Don't be caught off guard going to retailers that are restricting ammunition to customers. Sportsman's Corner, located inside Bill's Home Furnishings, has ammunition in stock and won't leave hunters empty-handed. No responsible gun owner should have to worry if they'll have ammunition this hunting season. Stop into Sportsman's Corner and put your mind at ease. 45 South 300th Street in Price. Sportsman's Corner wants you to be prepared.
Accounting, agribusiness, business administration.
USU Eastern now offers 24 bachelor degree programs right here at our local campus.
English teaching, elementary education, family life studies, health education and promotion, history, human development and family studies, liberal arts, management information systems, marketing, mathematics education, psychology, recreation resource management.
Visit usueastern.edu for more information. USU Eastern, small enough to care, big enough to get you places.
You can have a healthy, beautiful smile at any age. Orthodontic treatment is a viable option for almost any adult. Like kids, adults can experience the self-assurance that comes with a confident smile, along with the benefits of improved oral health. Hillstead Orthodontics would like to help you on your orthodontic journey. Come in for a free consultation and see how Hillstead Orthodontics can get you on your way to a beautiful smile. Affordable payment plans are available. Now, as a kid, you might not have been able to afford braces, but now you can. Call 637-2222 for an appointment today.
Welcome to the Emory Spartans Halftime Report, brought to you by Dr. Blake Hillstead and Hillstead Orthodontics on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Halftime here in Mount Pleasant. North Stampede all over Emory in the opening round of the 3A State Championship Tournament, 28-0. But maybe some momentum being built for Emory at the end of that first half, as they did create their first takeaway of the game. And now here on the Dr. Blake Hillstead Halftime Report, we'll take a look at the first half statistics. And Travis, one of the things that will stand out to you immediately, Landon Bowles, sophomore quarterback for North Stampede, is 5 of 12 for 105 yards.
105 yards, had the one interception right before the half on a tip ball, but the 5 of 12, I thought Landon Bowles was efficient, very good on the deep ball when they had third and long, converted twice. So, you know, three of the five possessions was touchdowns for North Stampede.
Well, let's take a look at the drive summary so far, and we'll begin with North Stampede because they have 28 points. Touchdown, 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 punt, interception.
That's defense. The Emory defense figured out ways to come up with stops. So back-to-back stops got them off the field. Now for Emory, it's figuring things out offensively.
Yeah, because, again, North Stampede, their last two offensive possessions, punt and interception, they have 28 points because they took a pick six back for a touchdown. And, again, continuing on with the individual statistics, countering Landon Bowles, Emory, who's not known for putting up massive passing yards, but James Bowman, 4 of 8 for 14 yards. He did have a 17-yard pass. He has lost some yardage on a dump-off that he had to Jace Curtis. But nonetheless, James Bowman is back there to run the football. That's why he is back at quarterback, not to throw.
Not to throw. And you can see that he's really not comfortable, you know, throwing downfield. Had the one nice pass play in the middle of the football field that he converted. Other than that, got hit on one. Turned out to be a pick six the other way to get us a 28-0.
Take a look at what Bowman has been able to do on the ground for Emory. 13 carries for 42 yards. He also had a 24-yard run where really he was a half a step away from maybe taking it to the house.
And he did a nice cutback, went through that B gap, got to the middle of the field. The safety had to come over late for North Stampede, tripped him up. If that safety's not there, I think James Bowman probably scores. And at that point, it's 21-7.
Josh Olson, the sophomore tight end, has one catch for 17 yards. Jax Mattson has one catch for 4 yards. And, you know, looking at the Emory offense in general, Zion Gibson and Jace Curtis have 4 carries for minus 1 yard. And that has not been there, and that has been key for Emory. This offense has been most effective when you have Bowman as a complement to Gibson and Curtis. It's also a new look for us. I mean, we haven't seen this type of offense throughout the season.
Zion was my X factor coming in. I thought he was a key player on the offensive side coming into this game to get going with his speed to the outside. And the way he can catch the ball to the backfield, and Zion's been very quiet.
Offensively, he hasn't had a whole lot of opportunity, but defensively, he's been great.
Made a nice couple defensive stops that if he's not there, North Stampede's getting huge chunk plays, so defensively, he's been great.
Let's take a look at the individual statistics for the North Stampede Hawks. Connor Jorgensen has 5 carries for 56 yards and 2 touchdowns. His long was of 34 yards, and again, that was on 4th and inches. Remember, Emory stacked the box. Jorgensen got by the first line of defense, and from that point on, it was nothing but green in front of him. He's had a great first half.
That little zone read play that nobody picked up on that outside, just went right on that edge and got to the end zone.
Anytime we look at top teams or teams that are expected to make a deep run, I always look for compliments. Right, because good teams can take away one option. And one of the things that stands out to me about this North Stampede team, they have multiple options coming out of the backfield. Peyton Clausen is a terrific compliment to Connor Jorgensen. In fact, the balance between these two, I mean, it's insane, actually. Jorgensen has 5 carries, Clausen with 4. You combine the yardage, it's 9 carries for 90 yards.
And number 15, like you talked about, that's Peyton Clausen. He's more of a hard runner. I think Jorgensen's more finesse, and Clausen is just as good. Once he gets, you know, through that gap, he's hard to bring down.
Take a look at the receiving statistics for North Sam Pete. Caden Taylor's hauled in 2 catches for 35 yards. Peyton Clausen, 1 catch for 25. Connor Jorgensen, 1 for 18. And Jackson Lenschweger, 1 catch for 27 yards. Take a look at the overview here on the Dr. Blake Hillstead at Hillstead Orthodontics halftime report. Total yards in that first half. North Sam Pete only had 200.
And you don't, that's not really a lot. I mean, that's a low number for them to have. I mean, they're very good offensively, and Emory's defense held them to 200 yards. It's just the offensive drives for Emory, you know, a couple 3-and-outs and then a turnover on downs. But Emory's going to have to sustain some long drives.
Yeah, third down efficiency for Emory in that first half. They were just 1 of 7 as far as third down efficiency goes. It's not a recipe for success. North Sam Pete, 2 of 5 on third down. But again, it's a testament to the Emory defense. As you alluded to, they definitely made some adjustments late in that second half, forced a punt, forced an interception. That interception came on a short field, don't forget. That was off an Emory turnover. We take a look at some of the other statistics in this game. Emory with 41 rushing yards compared to 95 for North Sam Pete. Again, a big chunk of that rush, those rushing yards came on a run from James Bowman.
And James Bowman had that 30-yard run that he almost scored on, and that's where the chunk came from. So other than that, North Sam Pete did a good job bottling up the rushing attack of the Emory Spartans.
Looking again at the overall team statistics in this game, defensive penalties, 2 for 20 yards against North Sam Pete, 1 for 10 against Emory. Offensive penalties, Emory has 2 for 10, so 3 penalties for 30 yards against Emory. On the flip side, 5 penalties for 40 yards for North Sam Pete. And if you're Coach Rhett Bird, that may be the one thing that you look upon in that first half and say, guys, you got to clean that up. 5 penalties for 40 yards. You'd like to see that number down a little bit. Outside of that, I don't know that there's much you could critique from North Sam Pete in the first half.
No, North Sam Pete jumped off sides a couple times on that hard count. Other than that, yeah, I think that's the one aspect that you're going into halftime, you're talking to your guys about, is we got to clean the penalties up if we want to advance, you know, and make a deep run in the state playoff. It's just, you know, you can't jump off sides on hard counts.
Both teams turned the football over in the first half. Emory had 2 turnovers, 1 an interception, another a fumble from Zion Gibson. The lone turnover in that first half from North Sam Pete came on the final play, one of the final plays from scrimmage in that first half. As Stockton Jensen came up with the INT. It was Luke Stilson that came up with the interception, off of the deflection. And so, again, the score here at the break, North Sam Pete 28, Emory nothing. That's been a look at the first half statistics here on the Dr. Blake Hillstead Halftime Report. We'll set it back to the studio for just a couple of moments. The teams will be taking the field here, and we'll get Travis's final thoughts on what Emory has to do to make this a ball game in the second half. 28-0 North Sam Pete on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We're also streaming live at CastleCountryRadio.com, courtesy of Bill's Home Furnishings.
You can have a healthy, beautiful smile at any age. Orthodontic treatment is a viable option for almost any adult. Like kids, adults can experience the self-assurance that comes with a confident smile, along with the benefits of improved oral health. Hillstead Orthodontics would like to help you on your orthodontic journey. Come in for a free consultation and see how Hillstead Orthodontics can get you on your way to a beautiful smile. Affordable payment plans are available. Now, as a kid, you might not have been able to afford braces, but now you can. Call 637-2222 for an appointment today.
Komatsu provides essential mining equipment, systems, and solutions used by companies worldwide to extract the fundamental minerals for developing modern infrastructure, technology, and consumer products. And they have a facility right here locally providing service to the Carbon County mining industry. Komatsu knows mines thrive on efficiency, and their control and drive technology supercharges equipment by improving production rates and lowering costs. Their leading Joy brand of underground and hard rock mining solutions is celebrating 100 years of mining innovation. Komatsu, world leader in mining technology.
From the beginning of time, men have been hunters, the protectors of their families. Help the men in your life fulfill their role without breaking the bank and send them to Charlie's Pawn on Main Street in Price. Charlie's carries guns for hunting, guns for protecting, guns for collecting, and at a fraction of retail price. Help a guy out and get him to Charlie's Pawn. Trust me, you won't be disappointed at the selection. Everything from handguns to rifles and all with a 30-day guarantee. Charlie's Pawn on Main Street in Price across from the jail.
So, tell me something. Do these modern trucks have a switch to roll up the window, or do you prefer driving with the window down in the middle of winter?
Funny. The motor inside the door is broken. I don't know how to fix it. And why didn't you bring a coat?
I hate wearing a coat inside a vehicle. Why don't you stop by Frank's Glass? They fix electric windows, you know.
No. No, I did not. When were you going to reveal this important information to me?
I just did.
Frank's Glass repairs and installs door window regulators located at 128 West Main Street. Or visit Frank's Glass on Facebook or Instagram.
This is Dr. Kelly Jensen of High Desert Orthopedics. I know that a quickly treated sports-related injury will heal faster and get your athlete back in the game sooner and healthier. That is why my staff at High Desert Orthopedics is committed to making sure your injury is assessed and treated started within 24 hours of when you contact my office in almost all situations. So if your athlete needs treatment, call High Desert Orthopedics at 637-BONE. High Desert Orthopedics, the best care your athlete deserves.
As a mom, I felt like my kids were slipping away. I just wanted to spend time with them. But with our fast-paced life, it just wasn't possible. Besides, what kid wants to hang out with their mom? That was until I found the Price Theaters. So now I take time with each of my kids and take them to a movie. No, we can't talk during the movie, but we're together, and the conversation afterwards is the best. So as one busy mom to another, take your kid to the movies tonight. It'll give you things to talk about for a lifetime.
Welcome to the Emory Spartans Halftime Report, brought to you by Dr. Blake Hillstead and Hillstead Orthodontics on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM.
Getting set for second half action. We're about 2 minutes away. Emory will kick off to North St. Pete. The Hawks won the toss. They elected to defer, so Emory took the ball first. Travis, I know it's an uphill battle, a very steep hill for Emory to climb here in the second half. What do you want to see from the Spartans over the final... could be 24 minutes of football action?
Got to see some pressure defensively. I don't think they got enough pressure in that first half. A couple times they did. They're going to have to do that. They're going to have to come up with a couple turnovers. And offensively, they got to take some chances down the field. The run game has been bottled up. They're going to have to take some shots, you know, towards the sideline, toward the middle of the field.
Obviously, the first offensive possession in the second half could tell us a lot. I alluded to the fact that Emory maybe created a little bit of momentum coming up with a turnover late in that first half. If the defense can make a big stop and you can turn that into points, I mean, maybe you can make this.
Yeah,
maybe you can make this a competitive second half. But nonetheless, offensively, what has surprised you about North St. Pete tonight?
Just the way that they're poised. That 10-play drive they had that was 87 yards. That was.
Was impressive.
It was very impressive. That's what you want out of your offense. They did it every way possible. The running game, through the air, good blocking up front. Offensively, I mean, the quarterback, Bowles, does a good job of just staying in the pocket, staying very poised.
Well,
he never gets flustered. He never panics.
I think Emory's done a great job of bringing pressure on the pass rush. But there's been a couple of times where Bowles, who's just a sophomore, knows he's going to take a hit, and he doesn't get happy feet.
No, he just takes it. He just absorbs it.
He does.
And he's very good at throwing on the run. So just a perfect, compliment player for Bowles in the quarterback spot.
So Emory again will kick this off to North St. Pete. We are just about set. It's an early kickoff today. 4 p.m. was kickoff for just about every game across the 3A classification. It's getting dark a little bit earlier, getting colder at night. I'll tell you, it's a beautiful day here in Mount Pleasant. Yeah, one of my favorite places to come for a football game. And a basketball game. I love coming to North St. Pete for basketball games as well. We've had some battles between Emory and North St. Pete in the years past.
Basketball season right around the corner.
Right around the corner. It'll be here shortly. Emory Spartans will open up the season on November 22nd. They'll travel to North St. Pete to take on American Leadership Academy. And then just a couple of days later, they're going to be at home for the first game. And, of course, you'll be able to follow Emory High School basketball right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. We can't forget, coming up tonight as well, we'll take you to Utah Jazz basketball. David Locke and Ron Boone will bring you the play-by-play The Jazz are on the road taking on the Los Angeles Lakers. Live coverage of that game is going to begin at 8:20. Tip-off is set for 8:30. And then tomorrow night we have Utah Ute football. On Sunday we have Oakland Raider football. We have sports galore coming up over the next couple of days. Emory to boot this ball away. McCandless will handle it. First time we have called his name today. McCandless is going to kick an onside. It's a loose ball floating around on the ground. It is out, but North St. Pete able to recover. I love it. Coach Gary Arrington, special teams coach for Emory, comes out. Onside kick right out of the gate. And I'll tell you, if you're Coach Brett Bird, you like it as well because you just got a rep on an onside kick. And that's what it's all about as far as the second half for North St. Pete. You want to clean things up. I like it. Emory's playing to win.
They got the bounce they needed, just a little too far downfield. But, yeah, I like it. Coming out of the break, you try an onside kick, try to get the ball back quickly. And for North St. Pete, you can work on the hands team.
Snap for Bulls out of the pocket. Throws. Pass completed to Jorgensen. Stiff arm to the 50, 45, 40, 35, 30. Down the sideline. And the touchdown was saved by Tegan Chrisman, who knocks Jorgensen down to the 14-yard line. Big time play to start the second half.
And Jax Mattson took the stiff arm and down he went. And the last line of defense is, who was it, Chrisman?
Yeah, it was Tegan Chrisman.
Yeah, Tegan came over and laid the lick and saved the touchdown.
So first down and 10 for North St. Pete. 11:40 to play here in the third quarter. A touchdown and an extra point would put the mercy rule in effect. Bulls is now going to go underneath center.
This is a simple little 5-yard out play that turned into, 40-plus.
Tight wishbone set. The snap. Bulls, little play action. Now a handoff. Taylor takes it right side. He's going to get to the end zone. Touchdown, North St. Pete. Caden Taylor, the senior, takes it to the right side. Goes just outside the tackle of Travis. He finds the end zone to make it 34-0 North St. Pete with 11:20 to play in the third quarter. We were looking for a quick three and out. Didn't work out. This North St. Pete offense is firing at all cylinders tonight.
That Caden Taylor got a nice seal block on that outside edge to freed him up. Emory's defense all to the left side of the football field. No one on that right side, so it's an easy walk-in touchdown. 34-0. Penning the extra point can make this 35. Like you said, the mercy rule kicks into effect.
Rodriguez comes out to attempt the PAT, the snap, the hold, the kick. It's all good. 35-0 North St. Pete.
Two plays is all it took.
Two plays. They get the ball into the end zone. And the Hawks looking to advance in the opening round of the 3A State Championship Tournament. We'll pause for 30 seconds. It'll be Emory football when we return.
If you're looking for a paint with the highest corrosion resistance in the industry, higher heat resistance, and a coating that won't run or sag and will stand up to weather, oil, gasoline, and corrosive chemicals, reach for nothing less than MRO spray paint from Seymour. Available now at Spectrum Paint. One 20-ounce can will cover what four 14-ounce cans of general-purpose spray paint will cover, resulting in the lowest cost per square foot. No one was ever sorry they bought the best. MRO spray paint from Seymour. Simply the best paint, period. Sold only at Spectrum Paint.
You're listening to Emory High School Football on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Emory set to get the football back. They trail North St. Pete 35-0. Christensen will kick it away now for the Hawks, back to return deep. Zion Gibson, along with Jace Curtis, they stand back at the 5-yard line. Christensen's done a great job of kicking away from both, a line driver, and it will bounce into the end zone. So Emory will take over at the 20-yard line.
Not a chance for those two tonight to have anything, return-wise. A couple times North St. Pete's kicked the ball out of bounds, that time into the end zone, so starting position now at the 20. Smart to keep it out of those two's hands because, they're so electric in the special teams.
Well, yeah, they have relied on momentum-changing plays out of that special teams unit, but North St. Pete didn't allow that early. They didn't allow that to change the course of the games, so that's been heads up for the Hawks. Emory comes out. Bowman will remain the quarterback. He has Jace Curtis standing to the left. St. Pete's going to bring a four-man front. Bowman's going to roll out to the left side. He's going to keep it, looking for some room to run. Gets beyond the line of scrimmage. Gain of maybe 2 yards. Bowman up to the 22, 23-yard line. Make it second and 7, but James Bowman, who has definitely really carried the load offensively in this game, no question about it.
Coach Johansson took a hit. He was slow to get up.
A 2-yard gain. So second down and 8. Clock will run continuously now.
Tegan was open in the middle of the field, and Bowman just missed him. Pinched to the outside and picked up two short yards like you talked about.
Tegan on the line of scrimmage off the right side. Bowman back into the shotgun. Said he's got two backs. This time he hands it off to Jace Curtis. Curtis looking for some room to run close to the 25-yard line. Sets up third down and five. Gain of two for Jace Curtis. And we talked about the limited production of Jace Curtis and Zion Gibson. Coach Rhett Bird and his defensive unit have been fantastic on that, limiting the playmaking abilities of both Gibson and Curtis. We've talked about it a lot in special teams, Travis, but what about out of the backfield?
Out of the backfield, nothing doing. Defensive is doing a good job of getting that push up front. Didn't allow Jace on that cutback to get to the inside edge, and he only picked up maybe a yard or two.
Third down and five for the Spartans. Curtis lines up in the backfield along with Bowman. A four-man front now here for North San Pete. Three-man front, as they back off coverage. Bowman across the center of the field. Intercepted. Throws another pick, and this one may go back to the house for six more. On his feet, into the end zone. Touchdown, North San Pete. Picked off by Laramie Roberts, the junior, and he takes it back for six. It's 41-0 North San Pete. Bowman with the interception across the center of the field.
Yeah, Bowman just forced that one into the center of the field. It's an easy pick. The second one that Bowman has thrown tonight, the second time North San Pete took it back for a pick six. And coming out of the halftime gate, Jordan, that's back-to-back touchdowns by the Hawks.
41-0 North San Pete. And the Hawks will send the special teams unit out. We're so far in this game. Rodriguez is a perfect 5-for-5 on PATs. The snap is clean, the hold is clean, and Rodriguez puts it through, pierces the uprights, and it's 42-0 North San Pete. 9:20 to play in the third quarter. We'll go back to the studio for a 30-second break. It's Emory Football when we return on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
From the beginning of time, men have been hunters, the protectors of their families. Help the men in your life fulfill their role without breaking the bank and send them to Charlie's Pawn on Main Street in Price. Charlie's carries guns for hunting, guns for protecting, guns for collecting, and at a fraction of retail price. Help a guy out and get him to Charlie's Pawn. Trust me, you won't be disappointed at the selection. Everything from handguns to rifles and all with a 30-day guarantee. Charlie's Pawn on Main Street in Price across from the jail.
Emory Spartan football continues on 107.3 FM and 750 AM KOAL.
42-0 North San Pete, 9:20 to play in the third quarter. And the Hawks have been nearly flawless outside of a punt and an interception. They've played a near-perfect game, and we talked about the penalties. Not a single penalty so far here in this third quarter, the second half. Albeit we've only played about 2 minutes and 40 seconds, and the Hawks have scored 14 points, but still, it's been a near-flawless game for the squad. Christensen's going to boot the ball away, back to return. It's Gibson and Curtis. High end-over-end kick out of the back of the end zone, and so Emory will start at the 20-yard line once again.
Bowman's got to do a better job of not trying to force feed, to certain, wideouts that he's focused on. He's got to do a better job moving the defense with his eyes on that one. That's an easy read. He just rolled to the right side of the field, just fired and tried to force.
Well, Bowman, one of the best athletes on the field, and that's a given any time Emory has taken the field this year. We've seen a couple of the more dynamic players in 3A with Bowman and Jalen Dennis throughout this season. Try to put the ball in the hands of your most dynamic player. It just has not worked for Emory. 9 minutes even to play in the third quarter. Bowman takes the snap. He hands it off to Zion Gibson. Zion bounces off a couple of would-be tacklers up to the 25-yard line. Gain of five for Zion Gibson. He's another senior. Not a lot of senior leadership on this Emory squad. They only have six seniors, four of them that play significant time because Brian McCandless is one of the seniors. It was a late addition. And Seth Justice is not playing tonight due to his second concussion this season. And so really the senior group for Emory, it's low. We have Tegan Crispin, Zion Gibson, and James Bowman. That is basically it for the Spartans.
And Jackson Reed, number nine, upended Zion on that one, credited with the tackle.
And Bowman's going to keep it himself. Bowman takes it past the 30, up to the 31. I believe that's enough for the first down. It should be. And so that'll move the sticks for Emory. James Bowman on a 6-yard carry. Clock will continue to move because the mercy rule is in effect. 8:09 to play here in the third. 42-0 North San Pete with a lead.
It's a good power run by Bowman. Did a good job protecting the football. Fell forward, picked up the first down. So back-to-back runs. And Emory has their first down here in the third quarter.
Bowman, the quarterback, takes the snap and a handoff now to Jace Curtis. And this is exactly what Emory wanted to do coming into the game. Curtis picks up 2 yards to set up second down and 8. But it's take chunks of time off the clock. We do have a flag and a personal foul against Emory. It's a dead ball foul. So some extracurricular activity that'll work against the Spartans. That's going to back up Emory from the 30 all the way back down to the 15-yard line. But, Travis, as I was talking about, that's what Emory wanted to accomplish offensively. They wanted to move the ball in 4 to 5 yard spurts. That's what this wing tee, the spread wing tee, is set up for. It's not a quick strike offense. It's something that's going to eat up clock. You're going to have an opportunity to...
You're shortening the game.
Exactly. That's exactly what it's for. Now, off of the unsportsmanlike penalty, it was on a gain of 2, so Emory with the ball at the 17-yard line. Bowman's going to take the snap. He tries to take it around the left side. Bowman passed the 20-yard line up to the 23-yard line. And so, once again, a positive pickup that time for James Bowman as the clock continues to move.
You're just so up against it now offensively in that playbook when you're behind the sticks as Emory is with that penalty, especially with Bowman in at the quarterback spot who hasn't spent a lot of time at that position.
Ball at the 23-yard line. Emory needs to get to the 41 for a first down.
This is just
so it's third and 17.
Something towards the middle, towards the sideline. You got to be behind the sticks or close to it because then it's four down territory.
Bowman with a delayed draw to Jace Curtis. Curtis will get it up close to the 30-yard line. Still shy of the original line of scrimmage, and now it's fourth down.
You might as well go for it.
Well, I think at fourth and 12, you're probably going to send the special teams unit out, and that's exactly what they will do. I think if it's manageable, fourth and manageable from any spot of the field, you go for it. But at this stage in the game, Travis, you probably have to punt. I mean, it's fourth and 12, and we were just talking about this offense. Not necessarily built for large chunks of change. So out comes Tegan Christman, who has had a couple of booming punts in this contest. The senior Tegan Christman back to punt. He stands at his own 15-yard line. North Stampede is going to bring the pressure. One man back to return stands at his own 40. Helmet high snap. They back off the pressure. Christman gets the punt away. And this will take a North Stampede bounce. Josh Olson reaches out and downs it at the 41-yard line. But great field position for North Stampede.
Yeah, the penalty killed that drive.
Definitely did.
Yeah, the dead foul, personal foul penalty after you had two runs that picked up a first down, and then you have that penalty to back you all the way up to the 15. It just really puts you up against it offensively, and that's not Emory's forte to be behind the sticks as they were, you know, first, second, third, and long.
North Stampede well on their way to the second round of the 3A state championship tournament as the Hawk offense will come back out on the field. They'll take on the winner of Juan Diego and Delta.
For Emory, you're just building. You know, you're young. Like you said, senior-wise, they only have, what, 4 or 5 kids. So, I mean, Emory's a super young team.
New quarterback is in, Clayton Lewis for North Stampede. Lewis hands it up the middle of the field, and he'll go for a minimal pickup. So Coach Rhett Bird killing off the Dogs as he goes to his second unit.
Clayton Lewis, the junior.
Second down and 8 as that clock continues to move. Moves very fast when it doesn't stop. I don't think you realize how much we have stoppage in the clock until you actually see the mercy rule in effect, and that clock runs continuously. It's about 12 minutes of actual action compared to about 30 minutes to play 12. Lewis is back up underneath center, takes the snap. It's a pitch, a loose pitch on the ground. Ball is down. It's loose, and Emory recovers. So a turnover recovered by Tyler Stilson. The ball bounced around for a couple of moments. Stilson came in from the secondary, hopped on the football. It's the second turnover for North Stampede of the game, and Emory will take over on North Stampede's side of the field.
And Clayton Lewis just didn't read that one well. Bad pitch to the outside. Running back wasn't even there. Ball bounced around the turf, and the Emory Spartans pounce on it.
Well, and I hate to beat the dead horse, but again, I go back to the repetition.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reps.
Yep.
You're getting reps, and Clayton Lewis can learn from something like that in a real game with a rep. But also heads up by Stilson, the sophomore, to dive on the football and to give this Emory offense another chance. And now Tyler Stilson is in at quarterback as well. So Emory has made a switch. James Bowman's going to go wide out left side. Stilson takes the snap, Stilson's looking, climbs the pocket. He's going to keep it himself, and Stilson will go for positive yardage up to the 35-yard line.
And that's Stilson reading the defense and knowing there's nothing downfield. So what do? You tuck and you move up the field where Bowman, you know, really didn't have the instincts to do that. Talking about Bowman just, you know, would toss it. So that's a good job by Stilton reading the defense, knowing that there's nothing there. I got to tuck, protect the football, move upfield.
Well, remember that Stilson is the third-string quarterback on this team. Riker Jensen, the sophomore who was injured in the season opener, should be back next year. Maybe an intense quarterback battle between two sophomores. A throw to the outside. This one goes to Bowman. Bowman close to the 30-yard line where he needs to be for a first down. He may be about half a yard shy, depending on the spot.
Could throw him that slant.
And so that'll bring up third down at about a half a yard for Emory as the clock is moving.
A little bit of a wobbler, but it got there. Bowman goes down and catches it short of the first, but Stilton's coming in the quarterback spot and already positive for Emory.
Stilson lines up into the shotgun. He's got Jace Curtis standing to the left. Two wideouts to the left, two to the right. Stilson takes the snap, hands it off, and Jace Curtis has real estate up the middle, and he'll take it into the end zone for a touchdown. Jace Curtis for Emory's first score of the game on a 31-yard run. Tyler Stilson comes in relief.
And leads the Spartans three score. Plays and a touchdown. Yep. After the turnover for Emory.
Is against the second unit, but still, Emory gets on the scoreboard, and Jace Curtis with his biggest run of the ball game. And now coming out will be McCandless to attempt the PAT.
It's a good job by Stilton to do, you know, after the turnover, come in, lead the offense down the field and get a touchdown.
McCandless to attempt the PAT. 42-6 is the score. Kick is up, and McCandless gets it through the upright. Emory gets the goose egg off the scoreboard. 2:35 to play in the third quarter. 42-7, and the Spartans will kick it back to the North Stampede Hawks when we return on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
A game plan carried out correctly. That's just what you need to win a game. It's also what you need to make a great car purchase. And JN Auto in Huntington wants to be part of your car buying team. Make your play count by purchasing your next vehicle from JN Auto. At JN Auto, they choose only the best quality used vehicles with factory warranties still in place. So at JN Auto, you can enjoy a new vehicle without the brand new vehicle price. And don't forget, you can keep that new vehicle in top condition with JN Auto's quick lube and car wash. Play to win. And get to JN Auto for your next car purchase.
Emory Spartan football continues on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM KOAL.
42-7, North Stampede with the lead. Emory scores on a Jace Curtis 31-yard run. Curtis found the real estate in the middle of the field going in between the tackle in the center. He found that B-gap, Travis, took advantage of it, takes it to the house, and now the Spartans will kick it away. The second time the McCandless has booted this football away. Two North Stampede returners stand back in their own 10-yard line.
Onside kick.
Well, he tried one already. This time it's a line drive type squib kick down the center of the field. It's loose on the turf. Finally picked up by North Stampede, and now they'll try to make a return out of it. The second unit showing his shiftiness, getting past the 30, 35, 40. Up to the 50-yard line, and that's where North Stampede is going to start. And I'll tell you what, Colby Robinson, the sophomore, had a brilliant return. Emory tried to keep it away from the deep return men, tried to create some mayhem of the bounce, and Robinson picked it up and had a terrific turn to return to midfield.
Now he circled every which way he could and got all the way up to the 50 and almost sprung it loose for a touchdown.
So now North Stampede will try to correct the wrongs on the last drive. As Clayton Lewis, again, we talked about just getting reps, and that's so important at this stage, especially as you gear up for a deep run into the 3A state championship tournament. Every rep counts, be it a mistake, be it a positive. And so we'll see if the Hawks can right that. On the flip side, Emory's going to remain with their first unit in defensively. Ball at the 50-yard line. Offset eye formation now for the Hawks. The snap and a handoff, and this will go nowhere. Emory's defense able to get the backfield. Teagan Chrisman, the senior, once again creating the initial contact, and that sets up second down and 11 on a loss of one. Clock is moving, a minute 14 to play in the third quarter. This game well in hand for North Stampede, 42-7. And again, the Hawks will move on to play either Juan Diego or a Delta in the second round, and that contest will be next week. A loss here for Emory ultimately ends the season. Last team to sneak into the playoffs in the first year of the RPI rankings. Emory picked up one region win, topping Carbon, and that proved to be the difference. Snap and a handoff. Mason Bailey, the quarterback, and this will go for positive yardage for North St. Pete. Pass the 50 onto Emory's side of the field, up to the 48-yard line.
Luke Stilton with the tackle. Big 55, the junior.
I believe that was Kylan Taylor on the run. And so now it's third down and about eight for North St. Pete. Again with the ball at the 48-yard line. Clock continuing to move. Coach Rhett Byrd with a win here tonight would move to that 500 mark as head coach. This was the runner-ups last year in the 3A state championship. Coach Byrd, 20-21 in 41 outings.
He's came in and done a good job of turning this program around.
Oh, he absolutely has.
Got them to the state championship game a year ago, looking to do the same this year and finish it off, but he's done a fantastic job of turning this program around.
Well, we'll go to the fourth and final quarter. Again, North St. Pete up 42-7. It'll be third down when we return on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. It's where the Spartans play.
Choosing a dentist for your child's dental care is a big decision, but Price Pediatric Dental aims to make your decision easy. After just one visit, you and your child will feel right at home, and your kids will beg to come see them again. You have plenty of things to worry about. Don't let your child's dental care be one of them. Get your child on the road to good dental health and call Price Pediatric Dental today at 637-9590. Price Pediatric Dental, making dental work a fun and comforting experience for kids of the Castle Valley.
The Spartans play here.
Seth Justice, number 7.
Zion Gibson, number 9.
Riker Jensen, number 11.
On 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, KOAL.
Fourth quarter of action getting ready to begin. North St. Pete 42, Emory 7. And it looks like it'll most certainly be North St. Pete and Juan Diego next week. Juan Diego up 35-7 right now over Delta. And so that would set up, I think that's going to be a very interesting matchup.
Yeah, Juan Diego, North St. Pete's going to be fun.
Hawks football right now. They're at the Emory 48-yard line. Spartans come out with a four-man front. Final quarter of the season. Wishbone set here for North St. Pete. Underneath center, Tegan Chrisman gets to the quarterback. He manages to hand the ball off, but I'll tell you what, Mason Bailey able to get the football away just before Chrisman can bring him down. Tegan was going for it. Hands it off, no gain. Fourth down and eight for North St. Pete.
And Mason Bailey very lucky. Don't know how he got that off.
I don't either. Tegan Chrisman is a senior playing in his final quarter here at Emory, and he's
right
definitely going to leave it all out. There's no question. The kid that loves to play football. Again, we've talked about his versatility and how he has played all over the field throughout the entire season. And now Coach Byrd is going to take up as much time as he can off the clock. We'll see if North St. Pete, again, it's about a rep, so we'll see what Coach Byrd wants to do here, if he's going to put the football away or go for it. He'll take a time out of the field, and that'll give us an opportunity to give a shout-out to all the sponsors who have made tonight's broadcast possible and this entire season as well right here on KOAL.
Emory High School football on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM is brought to you in part by Price Theaters, Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy, Dr. Blake Hillstead and Hillstead Orthodontics, JN Auto, Frank's Glass, Charlie's Pawn, CNT Auto Body, and Taco Time.
Again, thank you to the sponsors. And before you know it, we'll be talking about Emory High School basketball right here on KOAL. And then, of course, our sister station, KRPX The Peak. It'll be Carbon High School basketball. And you'll be able to follow USU Eastern basketball right here on KOAL. So a lot of local sports up and coming. The winter season, it's long and it's fun. And it'll be here before you know it. Out of the timeout, North St. Pete will punt this football away. Back to return is Jace Curtis. He'll stand back at his own 15-yard line. Only seen one other punt so far in this game for the Hawks. We'll see if Emory brings the pressure or they set up the wedge. Helmet high snap, able to get the punt away. It's a spinning punt, takes a bounce at the 20-yard line, rolls inside the 15. Excellent boot that time for the North St. Pete Hawks. But I'll tell you what, Clayton Lewis had to climb a ladder to go grab that football. Maybe an illegal shift against the Hawks, and that negates what was an outstanding punt. Travis, he had to go high to grab it, grabbed it, got it away, and it was actually a good-looking kick.
Yeah, illegal shift is going to negate that great punt.
Well, that'll back them up 5 yards. So now the ball's on their own side of the field to the 47-yard line. Curtis now stands back at his own 15 once again.
Now he had to go up high for that one. Look, he didn't bounce over his head. Got it and got it away cleanly. Ball rolled down there, you know, inside the 10, but the illegal shift negates that one. So do it all over again.
Lewis to punt from inside his own 35. Nearly blocked by Gibson. He gets it away. It will take an Orsan Pete bounce all the way inside the 10, an even better punt for the Hawks.
Worked out.
Emory will have the ball now with their own 8-yard line. And again, that clock is going to continue to run with a mercy rule in effect. 42-7 is the score, 10-20 to play here in the contest. So now the Emory offense scored last time with sophomore Tyler Stilson at quarterback. He did work it to James Bowman once on a quick pass.
Yeah, they took advantage of the turnover and went 3 plays and into the end zone.
Stilson will remain at quarterback. Jace Curtis lines up to the left. James Bowman goes outside. The numbers on the left side with Zion Gibson in the slot on the right. Olsen to the right side as well. Stilson's going to throw. Drop back, finds Jace Curtis, and Curtis is stopped in his tracks. A loss of 5 on the pass. Loss of about 4, actually. So from the 9 all the way back to the 5-yard line.
Got a hawk down.
And an injured North San Pete player. You never want to see that, especially with 9:46 to play in a game in which North San Pete is absolutely on their way to a win.
Hit hard by Luis Rodriguez.
And Luis Rodriguez is the one who made the tackle. And he took the grunt of it on that tackle.
Time out on the field. Let's keep it here. Do not forget, coming up tonight, the Utah Jazz will take on the Los Angeles Lakers. Live coverage of that game will begin at 8:20. Tomorrow, the Utah Utes will be back at it. They'll go toe-to-toe with the Cal Golden Bears. I don't know if there's a more interesting team in the Pac-12 than Cal. I mean, they got off to a great start. They've lost 3 straight since, 4-3 overall.
They lost to Oregon State a week ago,
it's a weird season for the Cal Golden Bears. Utah, they're number 12 in the country, the Utes are, looking to crack the top 10. And then on Sunday, we'll have Oakland Raider football for you as they take on the Houston Texans. So a lot of football in a very short period of time. Rodriguez is being helped off the field.
Donovan Mitchell was pretty good the other night down the stretch for the Jazz.
I'll tell you, if you're Coach Rhett Bird, this is a little bit concerning because Luis Rodriguez is an ace kicker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is money. He has not missed a PAT tonight. You know he's got a leg on him, and he was unable to walk off the field on his own power. And the ball goes back to Emory. Second down and about 14. Stilson takes the snap and around. Hands it off to Bowman. Bowman creates a little bit of space himself, splits 2 defenders, gets it up to the 8-yard line, close to the original line of scrimmage. And so now it's 3rd down and 10 as we hit the 9:20 mark in the fourth quarter. Still 42-7, North San Pete with the lead. Emory moving right to left on the radio dial. Ball right now is placed on the near left hash mark. Emory just shy of that 10-yard line. It was a short drive a moment ago for Stilson as Jace Curtis ripped off the largest gain of the night for Emory on a 31-yard touchdown run. Stilson remains the quarterback. Hard snap count. And he didn't get him. It's a false start against Emory. Hard snap count, but that's a false start against the Spartans.
4th 1.
And the guilty party on that go-around is going to be the guard. That's Justison, Trace Justison, the guilty party. Half the distance to the goal. That's going to move Emory to the 4-yard line.
Yeah, the 4th time tonight that Emory's been called for a false start.
Yeah, the hard snap has worked in Emory's favor for years. Tonight it's actually worked against them. They've had more false start penalties than North Stampede has falling for the hard snap.
Justice, sophomore.
Stilson takes the slap snap, throws the pass, caught by James Bowman at the 15. He's trying to reverse field. Bowman close to the first down stick. He gets out to the 20. He has it. First down, Emory.
It's a good Bowman, pitch and catch.
Well, Bowman showcases his athletic ability in the open field right there, Travis. He had to climb to get it, but he jumped, came down with a football, reversed field, and managed to pick up the sticks. He's valuable on the outside. He really
Tyler
is.
Tyler Stilson put that one where only Bowman's going to go up and get it. So Stilton and Bowman playing a little pitch and catch for a first down.
Stilson in relief so far tonight. 3 of 3 for 17 yards. takes the snap on first down. He's going to throw again down the center of the field. This one is caught by Jax Madsen to the 40-yard line.
Good throw by Stilson.
And so Stilson finding his rhythm with 7:45 to play in the game. It's a relief effort for the sophomore quarterback. Like I said, there may be a quarterback battle brewing. I really liked what I saw from Riker Jensen in the offseason. I like what I saw from him in the Millard game. He's a mobile quarterback. He can get outside the pocket. But there have been times this year that Tyler Stilson has looked just great in the pocket. There was a prime example there. First down and 10. Stilson's going to throw again. This time he overshoots his intended receiver, Josh Olson. Philip Cook, the freshman for North St. Pete in the vicinity on the defense. First incompletion of the game for Stilson.
And Josh Olson just didn't get out of his break, and Stilson put the ball just a little too far towards the sideline. But you said it. There might be a quarterback, you know, controversy brewing.
Quarterback battle? There's nothing wrong with that.
No, that gets good competition. Yep. It makes both players better.
Both 40-yard line, second down and 10. Stilson's going to remain in the shotgun set. He's got one man with him in the backfield. I believe it is Zion Gibson. Nope, Gibson comes in motion, so it's Curtis standing to the right. There's the snap. Stilson to throw across the center of the field. Caught. Caught in a big chunk of change for Jax Madsen. Madsen takes it all the way down to the 25-yard line. So Madsen's coming alive, and Stilson is finding his spots out on the field. He's picking apart the second unit secondary for North St. Pete. But Stilson looked calm that time. Travis delivered the strike.
Yeah, Stilton once again just stands straight in the pocket, fires a nice tight spiral over the middle of the defense. And since he's come in, Emory's offense has done a pretty good job of moving the ball up and down the field.
He's 5 of 6 for 72 yards in relief effort. 6:15 to play in the game. Stilson to throw goes to Zion Gibson. Gibson had the catch and he was hit. Ball is jarred loose and a flag comes out. And that may be a helmet-to-helmet hit close up top. Tyler Allen, this freshman, delivered the pop to jar the ball loose.
That was good. That's not a penalty. That's a good hit. That's a good, clean hit. He jarred it loose.
Let's see what the official rule is, and it is unnecessary roughness against North St. Pete.
Yeah,
that'll move
him
15
right
yards.
Oh,
he hit him
there. I mean, it wasn't high. It wasn't helmet-to-helmet. It was a good, clean football hit.
And well, it was high, but Gibson had to go high to grab the football. So
he hit him right in the chest, and that's why he dropped the ball.
So now it's first and 10 for Emory. They have the ball at the North St. Pete 12-yard line. 6 minutes and 7 seconds to play in the game. Trips to the left side here for Stilson. Gibson comes out of the game. Stilson back to pass, looking, fires across the center, intercepted. Intercepted at the goal line, and the Hawks will take it all the way back to the 17-yard line. So the first mistake for Tyler Stilson, the sophomore, in a relief effort. And on the interception that time for North St. Pete, it was Andrew Maurer, the sophomore.
Maurer just stepped right up in front of the wide receiver, and that's an easy interception. As Stilton tried to force it in the middle of the field.
Well, that's where he's had success since coming into this contest, but
their
that time North St. Pete
was,
they were ready for it. That comes after the penalty. First down and 10 for the Hawks, and again, the second unit is in. The first team, a well-deserved break. Hoping we see the Emory offense one last time. Hoping we get to see these kids out there one more time. I know Teagan Chrisman's going to be playing on the defensive side of the football. Big Teague playing middle linebacker right now for the Spartans. He's going to come in on a blitz. And, boy, I said Teagan, he may have come up with a football.
He looked like he just ripped it right out of his hands.
Waiting to see what the officials rule here. They're going to say it sticks with North St. Pete. Now they're going to have a discussion about it. Teagan Chrisman got into the backfield. He's still fighting for the football.
That's
he wrestles
ball.
It away. And they give it to Emory. So Teagan Chrisman, right on cue, lined up the middle linebacker spot, gets into the backfield and ripped it away from quarterback Clayton Lewis. That's the second time that Lewis will be charged with a fumble.
He just got in there and just took it straight
he
from
him. He almost did that once
he
earlier
in
the game.
It should be a second one.
Yeah, he nearly took the handoff away from the quarterback earlier. And with 4 minutes and 50 seconds to play in the game, Teagan Chrisman gives you an effort play, forces another turnover, and Emory has the football back now inside the 20 at the 15-yard line. Stilson, the sophomore, remains the quarterback for Emory. He's got four wideouts, two to the left, two to the right. Zion Gibson in the backfield, hands it off to Zion, and Zion's going to pick up positive gain inside the 10, down to the 7-yard line.
It's his best run of the night.
No question. Zion Gibson brought down on the open field by Connor Eliason. So now the clock will continue to move, and Emory is knocking on the door for what would be their second score. The first time these two teams met, it was 43-6 North St. Pete. We're down to the final 4 minutes. It's 42-7. Not much has changed. Zion Gibson trying to break away from some would-be tacklers. Forward progress was forfeited because he tried to move backwards, and Travis, he's all the way down back to the 20. Let's see where they officially spot this football. Well, they're going to give him a lot of yardage back.
Right at the, like, what, the 14?
They give it back to the 14, and I thought that Zion
gave up his forward.
His forward progress, but nonetheless, this is a great effort by Zion, and now Emory's going to have the ball back at the 14-yard line. 3:44 to play in the game, 42-7, North St. Pete with the lead. Stilson directing traffic out of the shotgun set. Bowman lines up to the left side. On the far right side, it's Jax Mattson with Olsen in the slot. The snap, back to pass. Stilson looking over the top of the defense. Pass intercepted in the end zone. Well, tried to go for it, Travis. Tried to find Cannon Sharp, the junior. Wanted to put the ball in the end zone. And now North St. Pete will get the football back in the 20-yard line. It's become a turnover fest here over the last 2 minutes.
And Cannon Sharp looked like he lost his footing as he tried to cut towards the middle by the goalpost where the ball was supposed to be. And instead, it's a second interception on the second possession for Stilson.
Now the ball goes back to the Hawks. Not a lot of football left in this one. The clock is moving. 3:17 to play in Emory season. And again, it's 42-7 at the second unit. For North St. Pete will come out. Lewis, the quarterback, up underneath center. Emory with a four-man front. And the Spartans have taken out their first unit as well for this final drive of the game. Under 3 minutes now to play. And again, it's the gift and the curse of high school football. Next season, it's a new set, new team. It'll be team, I believe, is it five for Coach John Famalo? And so you just you look at the outgoing seniors. You grow to really love and root for these kids. Not a lot of seniors on this year's team, but I'll tell you, effort was never an issue with this senior group. Snapping a pitch into the backfield in the Emory defense right there. Positive gain, close to the first down stick. I believe he got it. North St. Pete with a football on a pitch to the backfield. That was Jordan Watts, the junior. Yeah, next year it'll be year five for Coach Famalo. Goes by in a hurry, doesn't it?
It really does. Doesn't seem like he's been at the helm for going into his fifth year next season.
Yep. 2 minutes even left to play in the game. First and 10 now for North St. Pete. They have it at their own 32-yard line. Again, second unit for both teams in the game. Lewis, the quarterback for the Hawks, takes the snap. Quick handoff up the middle. Positive yardage up to the 37-yard line. And one, maybe two more plays, maybe three more plays, actually, to get this one in the books. 6-yard gain. Ball at the 37-yard line. And Travis, Emory had their chances early on in this game to make it interesting. They really did.
Had a chance, you know, to close the gap, make things, you know, put a little pressure on the home team. But North St. Pete made some defensive plays, got that pick six touchdown, and went into the half with the lead.
Pitch to the backfield. Jordan Watts is going to pick up the first down. Fresh set of downs for North St. Pete, and that'll just about do it in this one. The Hawks will move on next week to take on Juan Diego, because Juan Diego steamrolling past Delta as we speak right now. Last scoreboard update we received, it was 35-7 Juan Diego. And so that will set up a very intriguing second-round matchup. Again, it's the first year under the RPI rankings. Curious to see how the state tournament itself plays out. First down and 10 here for the Hawks. 45 seconds left in regulation. So you run this play, and that should take us to the end. Hand off, quick dive up the gut. Gain of 5 yards up to the 50-yard line, and that'll do it. Final score here tonight, North St. Pete 42, Emory 7. Like I said, the last time they played, the final score was 43-6. And Coach Bird is telling his team, hey, come over to the sideline. The game's over. We don't have to take another snap. And the Hawks will advance. They protect home field, and the number one team in the state will move on. And unfortunately, the Emory High School football season will come to a close with a 42-7 setback at the hands of the North Stampede Hawks. We'll send it back to the studio when we return. The Jay and Otto post-game show, plus we'll name the Frank's Glass Player of the Game. Kind of a tradition of the final game, we change it to Players of the Game. So we'll talk a little bit more about tonight's contest when we return. Final score again tonight, North Stampede 42, Emory 7 on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM.
A game plan carried out correctly. That's just what you need to win a game. It's also what you need to make a great car purchase. And JN Auto in Huntington wants to be part of your car buying team. Make your play count by purchasing your next vehicle from JN Auto. At JN Auto, they choose only the best quality used vehicles with factory warranties still in place. So at JN Auto, you can enjoy a new vehicle without the brand new vehicle price. And don't forget, you can keep that new vehicle in top condition with JN Auto's Quick Lube and Car Wash. Play to win and get to JN Auto for your next car purchase.
The choice is yours. Sutherland's Friends of the Family Plus Consumer Credit Card lets you choose from 5% off instantly at the register or special financing on qualifying purchases. That means no forms, no waiting, no rebates. You can choose 5% off instantly with your Sutherland's Credit Card. Got a big project? Choose special financing. The choice is yours with Sutherland's Friends of the Family Plus Consumer Credit Card. Subject to credit approval, minimum monthly payment required. See store for details. Only at Sutherland's.
It's that time of year again. You send your perfectly healthy kids back to school and, no fail, just a few weeks later, they're sick. When that ever-popular cold bug is passed to your kids, make sure you tell your doctor you want your prescription sent to Price Family Pharmacy. Price Family Pharmacy can make taking medicine more fun for your kids. They can flavor your medicine in your choice of flavor. And since they're a compounding pharmacy, they can even help the medicine taste better for your kids. Back to school means back to colds. Make taking your medicine easier with Price Family Pharmacy.
Science indicates access to high-speed internet during the school years can lead to, but is not limited to, streamlined acquisition of data, academic achievement, career advancement, satisfying relationships, cuter children, and joy. Our conclusion? Procure e-fiber or Xstream internet from Emory Telecom today. Contact Emory Telecom for a special back-to-school offer at 613-9605.
Touchdown, Raiders!
The Raiders play on News Talk 107.3 FM and 750 AM KOAL. Hear every snap, every tackle, every play. The Raiders take on the Houston Texans Sunday at 10:30.
The Raiders win it! The Raiders win it!
Raiders football is powered by Castle Country Radio. The Raiders on News Talk 107.3 FM and 750 AM KOAL.
A game plan carried out correctly. That's just what you need to win a game. It's also what you need to make a great car purchase. And JN Auto in Huntington wants to be part of your car buying team. Make your play count by purchasing your next vehicle from JN Auto. At JN Auto, they choose only the best quality used vehicles with factory warranties still in place. So at JN Auto, you can enjoy a new vehicle without the brand new vehicle price. And don't forget, you can keep that new vehicle in top condition with JN Auto's Quick Lube and Car Wash. Play to win and get to JN Auto for your next car purchase.
It's time for the Emory High School postgame show, brought to you by JN Auto on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Final score again tonight, 42-7. North Stampede tops Emory, so the football season comes to a close for the Spartans. And welcome to the JN Auto postgame report. We'll take a look at the final individual statistics. Before we get to that point, though, Travis, we go back and you look at the way this game started. Obviously, North Stampede took control early on, but it was 21-0 at one particular time, and Emory had developed a little bit of momentum. Unfortunately, the offense never found its rhythm. This North Stampede defense is a defense that's very aggressive. They, too, take a lot of chances. They want to get into the backfield. They want to try to force turnovers. They want to get you out of your game plan. James Bowman had his first start at quarterback tonight, and they made life very difficult on Bowman. They confused him early on in this football game.
They did. They set up on the outside edge, brought pressure from both ends, and it really flushed Bowman to, you know, make quick decisions, quick reads, which he couldn't. Forced a couple passes, and North Stampede took advantage with two pick sixes, but they do a good job of showing pressure from the outside. And then at that point, they'll drop both those linebackers back into coverage and then show right up the middle.
Emory running out of a four-man front tonight, bringing pressure from the linebackers. Teagan Chrisman playing at that Mike spot in the middle of the field. I thought he did some terrific work. Obviously, Teagan got back into the backfield several times. He created a little bit of havoc. I thought early on in the contest, he managed to flush Bulls out of the pocket. Bulls got outside the numbers a couple of times, delivered a couple of passes on the run. North San Pete was brilliant on third down early on in the contest. Emory defense played well on first and second down, but third down really seemed to be a problem for the Spartans early on in the game.
Yeah, third down was the issue for Emory in this game. First and second down, not so much. But third down, when you're whatever percent they were, you know, coming in, I think at one point was it one of, you know, five,
one of
six,
seven.
So one of seven, that really puts you up against it, what you can do moving the ball up and down the field. And when you're third and long in that situation, you know North San Beek can bring that pressure, and that's what they did. And it forced Emory, you know, to punt the football, and a couple times they had the football blocked on the punt.
Let's take a look at the final statistics, and we will begin with the Emory offense. James Bowman again started at quarterback. He completed 4 of 9 attempts. He had 14 yards on those attempts, Travis, and he also had a pick six. On the flip side, Tyler Stilson comes in the second half in a relief effort. He's 5 of 9 for 72 yards, no touchdowns. He throws 2 interceptions. So again, even the secondary for this North San Pete team making life difficult for Emory, but a lot of that has to do the fact that they were able to get the push up front, they were able to collapse the pocket, forcing Emory's quarterbacks to make quick and haste decisions, and that's where those turnovers came from.
Yeah, when you're pressuring the backfield as a quarterback, your internal clock goes off, I got to get rid of the ball, and that's what they did. They forced, you know, North San Pete forced those quarterbacks for Emory, Bowman and Stilson both into those throws. And the corners and the safeties do a good job. They rotate over. They know where it's going. You know, the quarterbacks didn't move the defense with their eyes, so they can just sit right where they are in their pockets, in their zones, and pick those passes off.
Final score again tonight, 42-7. North San Pete picks up a win over Emory. We'll continue to take a look at the individual statistics here on the Jay and Otto postgame show. James Bowman, 17 carries for 59 yards. A lot of those carries, I believe he only had one coming from the wingback spot. Most of them were that wildcat-type offense they wanted to create. Gaps and lanes for James, and the reason for going to that wild cat spot is knowing that this is a fast-reacting North San Pete team. If you can create a lane for James taking the direct snap, you're erasing an extra second of a handoff, and you're erasing the idea of maybe a fumble and a panic. I mean, that's the reason for putting James back at the quarterback
and North San Pete
running
really,
back
you know,
spot.
Probably didn't prepare for that.
No,
you know,
they
throughout
didn't.
The week with the practice, and then you bring Bowman in at the quarterback spot, and it just... It didn't work out for Emory, but I get what they're trying to do with Bowman, those direct snaps, and using his strength and his, you know, ability to get to those outside edges. But credit North San Pete's defense. They do a good job. They closed up those lanes and bottled them up.
Jace Curtis has, in this contest, he runs for 5 carries, 39 yards, and a 1 touchdown. And that touchdown was actually... late in the contest, Travis, it was a 31-yard gain. I mean, really, and he took it in between the guard and the center. He found Green, and he was off to the races, crossing, getting into that pay dirt area with nobody in his vicinity. Jace Curtis, only a sophomore, does not play like a sophomore, and that's something that I think Emory can build off of going into next season. He shows flashes of being extremely good.
He's going to be such a nice weapon for Emory next season. The way that he runs the ball, so smart, so quick, and for Emory moving forward, they got a good one in Curtis.
Yeah, what's the saying? Looks good on the hoof. That definitely describes Jace Curtis in this game. Zion Gibson, 6 carries for 6 yards. He also had 1 fumble. On the receiving side of things, Jax Madsen had 3 grabs for 59 yards. And again, if we're going to talk about weapons returning next year offensively or even defensively for Emory, there's another one in Jax Madsen. He's only a junior.
Jax Madsen plays a good corner. On the outside, that's a lockdown corner on the outside.
Yes, he played terrific tonight as well. James Bowman had 2 grabs for 20 yards for Emory as well. Let's take a look at the final statistics tonight for North San Pete. Landon Bulls, 6 of 13 for 148 yards. I know he also threw a pick, but nonetheless, Travis, he was very good tonight.
He sits in the pocket nicely. He's never flustered. He never, you know, panics. He can make the throws on the run, and if you give him time just to sit there and pick you apart, it's going to be a long night for you defensively.
Take a look at the running backs in tonight's game. Connor Jorgensen had 5 carries for 56 yards and 2 touchdowns. I'm a fan of this kid. He can definitely play that spot well. Perfect complement to have Peyton Clawson with him in the backfield. But again, as you continue to make a deep run, good teams will find ways to take away one good player. When you have a compliment in the backfield for a Jorgensen or a Claussen, that's when you make your deep run, and that's exactly what North Stampede has. They have two options coming out of the backfield.
Yeah, around the quarterback, Landon Bowles, they have good complementary pieces around him, and it's a good football team. That's why they're the number one team in the state, and that's why they're moving on next week to play the Juan Diego Eagle.
Yeah, they'll play Juan Diego. Juan Diego topping Delta tonight 42-7, the same score in that game. And so that'll be an interesting one next week. Juan Diego and North Stampede. North Stampede gets the number one spot. A little bit of controversy in North Stampede getting the number one spot because they did not win their region, and they get the number one spot over Juab.
Who won the region
and beat North Stampede.
So it's kind of like, you know, the college football playoff when you don't win your conference, you still get in, that sort of thing.
No, because they still got in. And if you win your conference in college football, if you're in the Pac-12, you win your conference, you really deserve to go to the college football playoff this season.
If you win your region, you should be the one.
Well, there's three region one winners. There's three region winners. But in this case, they have the same record, and they beat Juab.
And they should be
They beat North Stampede, excuse me. So
they should be ahead of them.
I agree.
If you beat somebody head-to-head, you should be ahead of them.
Well, I agree. If you have the same record. There's no question about it. But nonetheless, North Stampede, the number one team in the state, and tonight they looked it as they took care of business against Emory. 42-7 is the final score in tonight's game. Let's take a look at the final team statistics. The Hawks had 289 yards of offense. That's not outstanding.
They had 200 at halftime. In the second half, so Emory's defense did a good job.
Well, and Coach Bird, he did go away from the starters, but nonetheless, Emory gave up less than 300 yards tonight. That's definitely a win for that defense. And we talked to Coach Famalo about that during the pregame show, and he said that's going to be our opportunity. Defensively, we're going to have to create opportunities. We're going to have to play a little bit more aggressive. We're going to have to take risks. I thought the defense did do that. Third down efficiency for Emory, 3 of 11 compared to 2 of 6 for North Stampede. So if you're Coach Rhett Bird and you're looking for something to nitpick the fact that you were 2 for 6 on third down, and you also had a couple of penalties. I know you didn't agree with the one against Zion, but nonetheless, 9 penalties for 65 yards. So there were a couple of turnovers. You got to clean that up. You got to clean up third down efficiency, and you cannot have 65 yards of total penalties against a team like Juan Diego. That's where, if you're Coach Bird, you have to clean things up if you're North Stampede moving into next week.
Yeah, you make those mistakes next week, you won't be playing in 2 weeks, so. That's one aspect in the upcoming, you know, week, practice-wise. Got to clean that up. You just got to be disciplined.
Final score again tonight, North Stampede 42, Emory 7. We'll send it back to the studio. When we return, we'll name the Franks Class Player of the Game. The football season comes to an end tonight for Emory and North Stampede. We're back in 3 minutes.
A game plan carried out correctly. That's just what you need to win a game. It's also what you need to make a great car purchase. And JN Auto in Huntington wants to be part of your car buying team. Make your play count by purchasing your next vehicle from JN Auto. At JN Auto, they choose only the best quality used vehicles with factory warranties still in place. So at JN Auto, you can enjoy a new vehicle without the brand new vehicle price. And don't forget, you can keep that new vehicle in top condition with JN Auto's Quick Lube and Car Wash. Play to win and get to JN Auto for your next car purchase.
So, tell me something. Do these modern trucks have a switch to roll up the window, or do you prefer driving with the window down in the middle of winter?
Funny. The motor inside the door is broken. I don't know how to fix it. And why didn't you bring a coat?
I hate wearing a coat inside a vehicle. Why don't you stop by Frank's Glass? They fix electric windows, you know.
No, I did not. When were you going to reveal this important information to me?
I just did.
Frank's Glass repairs and installs door window regulators located at 128 West Main Street. Or visit Frank's Glass on Facebook or Instagram.
It's hunting season, and you have two choices. Park your old vehicle at the bottom of the hill, hike to the perfect hunting spot, and drag your trophy back down the hill. Or you can come see us at Auto Farm Price Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram and get a new hunting truck that can get you to the top. Hi, this is Hunter Staniforth with Auto Farm Price Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, and we have got your new hunting truck waiting for you. We carry a large selection of new and pre-owned trucks, so we are sure to have something to fit your budget. We search the internet daily to make sure you are getting the very best price. Come down and see us today for the best price and best financing anywhere.
Choosing a dentist for your child's dental care is a big decision, but Price Pediatric Dental aims to make your decision easy. After just one visit, you and your child will feel right at home, and your kids will beg to come see them again. You have plenty of things to worry about. Don't let your child's dental care be one of them. Get your child on the road to good dental health and call Price Pediatric Dental today at 637-9590. Price Pediatric Dental, making dental work a fun and comforting experience for kids of the Castle Valley.
Accounting, agribusiness, business administration.
USU Eastern now offers 24 bachelor degree programs right here at our local campus.
English teaching, elementary education, family life studies, health education and promotion, history, human development and family studies, liberal arts, management information systems, marketing, mathematics education, psychology, recreation resource management.
Visit usueastern.edu for more information. USU Eastern, small enough to care, big enough to get you places.
His wife's words echoed in his mind.
You never fix anything around here.
Well, today that would change. He would fix the water heater. He'd show her that he was the handyman of this house. He was more than capable. Oh, no. Covered it. August 14th, 2008. Talk to farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
You're written by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance Exchanges and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Call me, Billy Vigor, at 637-3077 or visit me online, BillyVigorInsurance.com.
The Spartans play here.
James Ballmer, number 5.
Jeremy Brennan, number 18.
Tristan Leroy, number 1.
On 107.3 FM and 750 AM, KOAL.
Time to name the Franks Class Player of the Game, and Teagan Chrisman was just outstanding tonight for the Emory Spartans on the defensive side of the ball. Teague's been great all year long. Again, kind of a do-it-all type player. We saw Teague play multiple positions. That's not easy to do, changing your number, changing what aspects you're going to be playing each week. Teagan was fantastic tonight. He's one of the Franks Class Players of the Game. Travis, I want to give a shout-out to all the seniors. It's kind of a tradition that we name the seniors the Franks Class Players of the Game as we go into the final season, the final game of the season. So, Teagan Chrisman, again, he'll be joined by James Bowman. James Bowman was dynamic for Emory all year long. Every week, James Bowman, you knew, was going to be one of the best, one of the most athletic players on the field every week. We knew that going into the season, and that's difficult as well.
Yeah, that catch, go back to that catch that he had at ALA where he got both feet and, just landed weird on that little turf spot they have out there. Kind of took him out of a rhythm going forward toward, in the middle of the season. So, but he's been big since, he started playing football. So all these seniors, Teagan and all of them.
James Bowman played his final game tonight, started at quarterback. I thought James definitely left it all out on the field. Seth Justice, unfortunately for Seth, we didn't get to see him play quarterback enough due to a couple of injuries, but I'll tell you, it's a great kid, a kid that definitely knows the game of football inside and out. When Seth played, he put together one of the best performances we have seen from an Emory quarterback throwing the football in a very long time. So Seth Justice, a senior on this Emory Spartan football team. Also, we have Zion Gibson. Zion, a senior off this squad, and, Zion, we saw him really come into his own. I thought Zion continued to play great football throughout the season. One of the most dynamic kick returners, in 3A. He could definitely, you could see his impact on this team after he missed the first couple of weeks this season. So a shout out to Zion Gibson. Another senior on this year's squad, Bryson Baggs. Didn't get to see Bryson play a lot of football this year, but he was one of the senior leaders on this year's team. And then, of course, Brian McCandless, who was the late addition to the squad. He played great football, kicking primarily for Emory. So those are the seniors on this year's squad. We'll go over them once again. James Bowman, Seth Justice, Zion Gibson, Teagan Chrisman, Brian McCandless, and also Bryson Baggs. So players of the game tonight, all six seniors on this year's Emory football team. And with that being said, football season is over.
Football season is over. It's a lot of fun, working with you and Sonny bouncing back and forth, and now we look forward to Emory basketball.
Emory basketball will be here before we know it. He is Travis Anderson. I am Jordan Buscarini. As always, it is a pleasure and an honor to come to you every Friday night and bring you Emory High School football. That'll be year 10 for me in the booth next year, and I'm definitely looking forward to it. We'll be back before you know it again. Basketball will begin November 22nd as ALA will take on the Emory Spartans on the road in Spanish Fork. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. Go Spartans!
Emory Spartan football continues on 107.3 FM and 750 AM KOAL.